Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Bonnie Amistadi, James J. Stenman here this morning. It is looking lovely out. I took another picture, posted it on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page. You got a nice
It's dark out.
No, it's not. There's
it looks like every day looks the same at this time of day, really.
Because you're looking through the smoked windows. There's a beautiful pink skyline out there, and it was stormy last night. We had a tornado that touched down in Becker County. So Dean was here on duty.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because we kind of kept, I kept telling my wife and daughter that, you know, we had this potential for severe storms after 4 o'clock, most likely to the metro at 5, which was pretty accurate. I think, I can't remember if some of it kind of got to the area a little bit sooner than that, but we didn't have anything in my part of West Fargo. It seemed like it didn't develop over by us. It kind of was either south or it already passed to the east, kind of like headed north and kind of just didn't really clip us. So we didn't get any rain over in West Fargo that I'm aware of. And obviously you could look out to the east. It was very dark blue, and obviously you know, some severe storms broke out because, I mean, I was watching the soccer match last night, and man, that they broke in right before halftime, and they were talking about potential tornadoes. And then we had one over there at by Detroit Lakes, and so that was kind of taking up some of the coverage of the match last night, which was obviously well deserved because you got to keep people safe. But we got lucky in West Fargo where everything kind of bypassed us, and we didn't get hit with anything.
Yeah, I mean, I crashed out probably by 7 o'clock, so I'm not even sure what we got in Moorhead. But there were some rumbles of thunder earlier, say I don't know 4 or 5 o'clock or something like that. But there's another round of showers and thunderstorms that could develop tonight. Will they be as strong as what moved through the region last night? Dino will let us know when he gets in the next hour. Look for a high today right around 80 degrees. The Becker County Sheriff's Office says two people were hurt when a suspected tornado touched down on the west side of Floyd Lake. Now, that's just north of Detroit Lakes. The victims are taken to the Detroit Lakes Hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Sheriff's office says the twister downed trees and power lines and caused damage to homes and other properties. Meteorologist Dean Wysocki says an early indication points to an EF2 tornado. An emergency shelter has been set up at M State College in Detroit Lakes. Josh Boucher was publicly sworn in as Fargo's first full-time mayor last night, taking over for former Mayor Tim Mahoney. Boucher opened his first city commission meeting before taking his oath of office. He previously served as a state senator before running for mayor. Following his swearing in, new commissioners Nikki Gullickson and Chad Peterson were also sworn in, marking the start of the new commission. After voters overwhelmingly approved extending the city of Fargo's infrastructure sales tax, the city commission will take its first action on that extension. The existing tax will be extended through December 31st of 2048. Local police and fire departments are kept busy over the holiday weekend responding to fireworks-related calls. In Fargo, 144 calls for service for fireworks were reported. The fire department responded to 11 of those. Fargo's calls included 9 dumpster or outside trash fires and a deck fire. Moorhead police responded to 72 calls. A Richland County bar received significant damage after fire broke out yesterday afternoon. Someone spotted smoke coming from the roof of the Antelope Creek and Bar and Grill in Morton around 2 p.m. and called it in. Fire departments from Morton, Wahpeton, Winemere, Dwight, and Great Bend all responded, along with the Winemere Barney Ambulance, ASI Breckenridge, and the Richland County Sheriff's Office. 4 firefighters were taken to the hospital to be treated for heat exhaustion. The cause of the fire is under investigation. A 35-year-old Baltimore woman was arrested Sunday afternoon for attempted murder near Battle Lake, Minnesota. Otter Tail County deputies say she tried to drown her 15-year-old daughter in West Battle Lake. Jasmine Law was arrested on second-degree attempted murder, domestic assault, and domestic assault by strangulation charges. The girl was taken to the Fergus Falls Hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. And Vitalant Fargo's location reports a 2-year low of type O blood. About half the population has this type of blood, and it's universal, so it can be given to anyone. Vitalant Executive Director Jennifer Campbell says when there's a shortage, doctors may have to decide who can receive blood immediately and who has to wait. If you're able to donate, you're urged to set up a time at vitalant.org. 5:05, time for a check on our WDAY Radio Sports with Jay Stenman.
Thank you, Bonnie. Kind of a slow night, really, overall, since we didn't have any baseball going on last night for the major leagues and our very own Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks. We'll get to that in a second as far as them. They go because they will be playing tonight. Minnesota Lynx, they were in action last night and kind of a little bit of a stunner, but when you kind of see why, it makes a little bit more sense. But the Minnesota Lynx, they got edged by the Connecticut Sun last night, 90-89. Kayla McBride led the way with 28 points. Courtney Williams had 23 points, 9 boards, 6 assists, and 3 steals. Natasha Howard also had 18 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, and 2 blocks. Dorca Juhas, she made her 2026 season debut. She ended up playing 25 minutes. Only netted 3 points, 4 boards, and 3 assists, but she got on the court last night. The biggest factor last night, I believe, would have been the fact that rookie sensation Olivia Miles, she did not play after picking up an injury in their last game. The Lynx dropped to a record of 15-6 on the season, and depending on whether or not Las Vegas was in action tonight, they're still atop the WNBA in the standings, and hopefully, obviously, they get healthy because Nafisha Collier, she should be coming back shortly as well. They're just kind of taking their time. Obviously, when you're off to a great start without Nafisha Collier and Dorca Juhas, you can kind of take your time and wait for them to come back. Shel Reeve is still tied with Mike Thibault for most regular season wins in WNBA history with 379. So looking to get that number 380 and be the all-time winningest coach in the W. Wednesday, she'll have another chance at Connecticut. They will play the Sun at 6:30 p.m. That'll be live televised on USA Network, so if you want to tune into that. Speaking of our baseball teams, Minnesota Twins, they will start a 3-game series against the Cleveland Guardians tonight. As they get ready to head into that All-Star break. First pitch tonight is scheduled for 6:40. Full game coverage available on twins.tv. Taj Bradley will be your starting pitcher for the Twins. They enter with a record of 44-47 on the season, trying to maybe head into the All-Star break around that 500 mark or better. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they're going to take on the Sioux City Explorers down in Sioux City tonight. First pitch goes for 6:35. Redhawks enter just a game under 500 at 22-23 on the season. Yesterday, World Cup action continued on. First in the round of 16, as we had yesterday and today, we'll conclude the Sweet 16. Yesterday, Spain defeated Portugal. They got a 1-0 victory over Portugal. They scored in basically the 91st minute. They had, 6 to 8 minutes of extra time, but right away they had a substitute come on, a nice pass, and able to get in front of everybody except for the goaltender and put it past him and get a 1-0 victory. All the talk about Flo Balogun being available last night, Bonnie, it didn't matter. Belgium, I think I was talking to my daughter at the time, and like less than 2 minutes into the game, our goalie had to make an incredible save to keep it 0-0. However, within 10 minutes of the game's kickoff, U.S. was down 1-0, kind of on a little bit of defensive lapse there. We did tie it up on a great free kick by Tillman. Tied it at 1, but about 60-some seconds later, Belgium retook the lead, and then the dagger was in the second half. Our goaltender came out to make a play because the Belgian team had a guy kind of streaking down the field, and they did a really long kick. He came out to play it, played it well. But then when he went to kick it, he kind of hesitated, and then when he did kick it, one of the Belgian players kind of deflected it, and it went to a different player, and he was able to put it past a defenseman that was just really out of position. They got a late goal. They ended up winning 4-1. So the Team USA's run at the World Cup is over. I tell you what, I think this team was a lot of fun to watch. It's disappointing. I figured that winning against Belgium was going to be difficult last night, Bonnie. I guess I was expecting a little bit more from this team as far as performance last night, but that's the way it goes. So Belgium will move on to play Spain in the quarterfinals. Today's action, the last two games of the Sweet 16, Argentina takes on Egypt at 11 a.m. this morning in Atlanta, while Switzerland takes on Colombia at 3 p.m. up in Vancouver. Those two winners of those two games will face each other in the quarterfinals, which the quarterfinals get started on Thursday, so just one off day between Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. Thursday's match will be France versus Monaco at 3 p.m., that'll be up in Boston or Foxborough at Gillette Stadium for those of us that know football. Friday, Spain takes on Belgium at 2 p.m. In L.A. at SoFi Stadium. Saturday, Norway will take on England at 4 p.m. at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. And then the last two games, the two winners from today, which I said was going to be our Argentina-Egypt winner versus Switzerland-Colombia winner, That will be at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City at 8 p.m. on Saturday. So then we'll have our semifinals figured out. And tonight, you can tune into Primetime Sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself right here on WDAY Radio. We'll get you up to date on everything that's going on, maybe a little World Cup talk, maybe a little NBA free agency slash trade talk, which if those people are wondering why that trade by the Wolves to send out Naz Reid and Julius Randle hasn't become final yet. I did read something yesterday that one of the players involved is being shipped to, I believe, Chicago, or maybe he's coming to us, I forget. He was officially signed on April 9th, and you have to wait 90 days, so that puts it at like July 8th or July 9th to be able to make it official. So we've got a couple more days to wait for that official trade to be approved by the league, so stay tuned for that.
All right. We've got showers and thunder showers in our forecast today. Pretty good chance we could see those later on. Checking out the radar screen, it looks like the shower and thunder shower activity is out in western North Dakota. Some pretty good thunder boomers right around Mott, south of Dickinson, to the east of Hettinger. There's also another system sliding across the Montana border up in the Williston area with some pretty good thunder shower activity. I'm not seeing anything yet in the central or eastern part of the state. But Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki says partly to mostly cloudy with evening showers and thunderstorms. 80 for our high temp. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 15, low of 61. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers or thunder showers. Less chance of that. Looks like 20% chance tomorrow. 79 for the high. North-northeast winds, 10 to 15. Thursday, partly sunny, 83 for the high. Friday, partly sunny, chance of showers, 86. And for the heat lovers, you'll be seeing 90 on Saturday, 98 Dino has on Sunday. So we'll see if that
grows.
I know.
I don't like that. Also, Thunder Boomers, that was the previous generation. Now it's Thunder X, and now probably just Thunder Millennials.
Okay, gotcha. and I've seen some reports out of, on the Minnesota side, National Weather Service office out of Duluth even said parts of Minnesota, there could be some flash flooding today. There could be up to 7 inches of rain as a possibility if these storms that move across start to stall and train. That's the potential. 4 to 7 inches plus is possible, according to the National Weather Service area of Duluth. And I see it's kind of a wide area that they had circled, but it would also include parts of southeastern North Dakota, northeastern South Dakota, into a wide swath of central Minnesota. So we'll see what Dean says about that when he gets in coming up in the next hour. And again, the tornado touchdown in Becker County happened near Floyd Lake, north of Detroit Lakes. We're aware of 2 injuries. The sheriff's office told us about that. The victim's taken to the hospital. Good news is, sounds like the injuries are not life-threatening, but there is a lot of damage there, a lot of downed trees, power lines, homes, and other properties have been damaged. Authorities are asking people to stay out of the area as crews continue to do their work. First responders, also utility crews, working to restore power. And there is an emergency shelter that has been set up at M State College in Detroit Lakes. Dino was on the air last night thinking that was probably about an EF2, but the National Weather Service will send assessment teams to that Floyd Lake, Detroit Lakes area later on this morning, and we'll have a better accurate description of what happened there.
And that goes 1 up to 5, 5 yep. being the worst, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to make sure I didn't get it backwards. Mm-hmm. Okay,
but still, the EF2 caused plenty of damage.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's an EF1 or an EF5. I mean, it's going to do significant damage. So hopefully we don't have too much damage, too many injuries, and possible lives lost. So hopefully we'll get some good reports coming out today.
Yeah, hopefully we don't hear of any more injuries besides those two, which we know are not life-threatening. Partly cloudy, might be some fog in spots this morning, so heads up for that. We're at 64 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the north at 7, 5:14. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. And a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. Tuesday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Got a nice morning going here after a night of severe storms, including that tornado that touched down in Becker County near Floyd Lake, north of Detroit Lakes. 2 injuries, not life-threatening. The victims were taken to the hospital, but there's a lot of assessment that needs to be done. There's trees down. There's power lines down, damage to homes and other properties, and Looky Lou is being asked to stay out of the area today. They don't need extra people getting in the way as first responders, and the power line companies are trying to do their work. There's also a shelter that's been set up at M State right there on Highway 34 in Detroit Lakes, and we'll continue to bring you more information as it becomes available. Possibility of more storms later on today. Threat of hail, I guess, 60-mile-an-hour winds and flooding a possibility if those thunderstorms stall out. Right now, they are currently in the western part of North Dakota. Question of the morning, we want to know, what was your favorite book or book series growing up? You can give us a call. Window and Door Store phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. Email us on the Glass Dr. Otto inbox, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 526, Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Hard to believe we're already at the midway point. Red River Valley Fair today being day five. The fair goes until Sunday. Hopefully I've had a chance to get out there. If not, you got plenty of time yet. I was just looking at their schedule for today. Of course, in the grandstand, Hairball, there I was a fan favorite. But I was kind of looking over some of the stuff that we really enjoyed checking out, in addition to the 4-H exhibit and all the animals that the kids are raising and showing. There's this grizzly bear exhibit, which is free, and you just get it. They're young. They're not even a year old, the guy that was talking at that. You just get to watch them play, and they do that's go cool. down a little show, too, I guess.
Oh, but, that's nice.
But, yeah, I mean, they were so playful, and they were so fun to watch.
It's because they're baby bears.
I know. They were adorable, and they probably were, I don't know, they're grizzly, so, you know, that's a little bit of a bigger bear. But
yeah.
if they were 100, 125 pounds, maybe something like that, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 125 pounds.
Yeah, but, I mean, still, it's... They're a good size animal, even though they're babies. So
yeah. The trainer, you know, the guy that was talking, he was in there right there with him and stuff, so he wasn't concerned about him. But
well, that's because he's around him all the time,
and they're still kind of young babes. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. I suppose they could do some damage. Also, Swifty Swine Pig races, that was fun. I was trying to think of the name of them. I looked at the Red River Valley Fair's webpage to check it out. Yeah.
Nice.
It's cute. They're like little piglets.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. They just, you know, line up about six or eight of them and just off they go.
Yeah. And then there's this robot that strolls around that really captivated my granddaughter. It's a big, tall robot.
Rocket. Is it Sir Pizza?
I don't think so. It just moves around. Rocket Robot. Rocket the Robot.
Uh-huh.
But it's like a big one on wheels. And I don't know. I suppose he's probably... 8-10 feet,
oh,
probably
wow.
10-12 feet high.
Probably. I'm still more impressed with the pizza robot over at Midtown Tavern.
Yeah.
Just because it delivers me pizza.
Yeah, that's true. It does. So Red River Valley Fair, if you're interested, go to their website for more details on that. You will find everything there, but good time. All right, question of the morning. What was your favorite book or book series growing up? If you want to weigh in on that, give us a call. Window and Door Store phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. They specialize in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors. TheWDStore.com. Keep that number handy, too, because today is Name That Jingle, sponsored by ZD's. We do that after Dean's three-degree guarantee, about 747, 750. Today's is really easy. Last week's
really?
Was easy, too. Today's is really easy. Next week's will
be easy. What was last week's? I was gone for last week's.
I don't remember because I kill them off. You know what's rattling through my brain.
You've got a radiographic memory.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. I mean, I have a list. I could go into my Word documents and find it. It wasn't Meow Mix because you were here for
I was here for Meow Mix, which was kind of funny.
Yes, but it was an easy one.
Yeah.
All right.
Is it a long one today or a short one?
It's like 23 seconds, but it's an easy singing jingle.
All right. Well, okay. Look forward to that.
Since you asked.
I was just curious as to which one you did last week while I was gone.
You know everything I do on a daily basis.
I don't remember
it,
though.
I can't keep these thoughts in my mind. I just redid the list. Oh, here we go. Okay, so last week, Name That Jingle. Oh, Oscar Mayer Bologna.
Oh, yeah, that one probably was, you know, whoever got in probably got that one right away.
Yeah, he did. he was a little nervous, but he got it right away. But
well, as long as you didn't have to actually spell it, you know, because yeah. I would probably do M-E-Y-E-R, and that's probably not correct. It's M-A-Y-E-R.
The next two are easy, and then we're going to wrap it up at the end of July. The last two, they're easy, but I think you'll have to think a little bit more, especially for the last one.
No pressure, though, everybody.
No pressure. Good luck. Whoever wins that gets a $25 gift certificate to ZD's Italian American at the Lights in West Fargo. All right. Your favorite book or book series growing up, 701-293-9000. Window and door store phone lines are open. You can email us on the Glass Dr. Otto inbox, studio at WDAYradionow.com. Glass Dr. Otto of Fargo Moorhead. Contact Reed and his team today at Glass Dr. Otto. They're your locally owned windshield repair shop. Or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page like Dave and Gren Rapids did. This was the first one that popped into my head for some reason. The Mouse and the Motorcycle. Do you remember reading that as a little boy?
It seems like I can picture what the book might have looked like, but I don't recall.
It was a cute story.
I mean, it wasn't one where they like took a ping pong ball or something and made a helmet for the mouse or something like that?
I don't remember. I mean, you're talking like young elementary school. And I want to say there were several of them. It wasn't just one. 1955, Ralph. Yeah, Ralph S. Mouse, living in the Mountain View Inn, befriends a boy named Keith, rides his toy motorcycle, leading to adventures and a lesson in friendship and responsibility. Oh.
My thought was going to be when you said a book or series as a kid, because at first I was starting to read the question and I thought you were just saying, you know, what's your favorite book, you know, as of, you know, adult time. But, when I go back to kids, I think when I was in grade school, there was a series of books that I always enjoyed, the Encyclopedia Brown books. They were mysteries. And I don't remember if those were some of the ones.
I remember reading those.
I don't remember if those are the ones where you got to read and then you got to make a decision as to where the adventure went, you know, kind of a choose your own adventure book. I don't think those were like it, but I remember Encyclopedia Brown being like a grade school kid that was solving mysteries of some sort. So that was a big one when we were kids in my hometown.
I didn't lock into all of them, but mm-hmm. I remember reading some of those. Mm-hmm. Now that I Googled them, forgot all about that.
Yeah, that's just the first one that popped into my head. So,
Dave also says Jonathan Livingston Siegel in any Marvel comic books growing up.
Well, comic book. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, the Diary of, what is it, Wimpy Kids?
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, yeah.
And then Captain Underpants. That was the only thing my son would read growing up.
Yeah.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, it's a series, mm-hmm. but he had a blue book, and I can't remember which one it is. I swear he read that thing 4 years in a row. That was my biggest struggle, and he's a good reader. But was my biggest struggle with Logan was getting him to read.
My girls were both very good readers. The funniest part, though, is you'd hear from my youngest's teachers and be like, oh, she's reading, you know, she's in, you know, third grade. She's reading at an eighth grade level. You're like, awesome. But her writing, she doesn't really write much. So she loved to read, and she's a fast reader too. So there, when she was in middle school and high school, she got into a little bit more, not necessarily advanced books, but bigger ones that were thicker, more pages and stuff. And
how about the Harry Potter books? Those are thick.
Oh, she didn't read those. No. But I mean, she would read a book, and I'd be like, "Oh, you're still reading your book or whatever? How's it? You know, how is it or whatever? So I already finished it." I'm like, what?
Good for her.
I'm like, you just got it 3 days ago. Yeah, I already finished reading it. I'm like,
a lot of us finish books in, you know, like a day or two.
I can only do that if I've found some books that really kind of, I just really get into the story. Like, I remember there was a couple of Michael Crichton books. I remember reading the book Congo. The book was way better than the movie just based on the deep money.
They usually are.
Yeah. So I remember reading that one. That didn't take very long. I read a book that was written by Phil Jackson about his time with the Bulls in their first three championships, or maybe it was their second three, I forget. It was called Sacred Hoops, Lessons of a Hardwood Warrior. And that one didn't take me very long to read because it was something I was really interested in. So sometimes when I've tried to read other books, I tried to read a Stephen King novel once, and it just really dragged. And you'd read a few pages, and you're like, "Wait, what did I just read?" So,
well, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Connect with whatever you're into. Exactly. I love reading. Both my girls do too. They blast through a lot of books.
My wife's a big reader. She goes through a number of books. It slowed down the last couple of years, I think. But you know, there's been years where she's had a counter or whatever on her web page or whatever, and she's read 100 books in a year or whatever, and I'm just like, good grief, I'd be lucky if I finished one. So,
well, just like you, when you go to the gym, you watch the TV. Some people listen to music. I read books. I get out my Kindle and read that, and that really helps me pass the time.
You have to have better eyesight than I do, because otherwise my book would be bouncing and I'd be like, I can't focus on the line.
Well, if you need to, you can blow the font up huge on a Kindle or e-reader.
That's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite book or book series growing up? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. Window and Door Store phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. You can email us on the Glass Doctor Auto inbox, studio at wdayradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I had to Google this. Our friend Hunter Chef Jeff Benda says, My Side of the Mountain. I'm not familiar with that one, and it's an older one. It goes back to 1959. Hmm. It's about 12-year-old Sam Gribble, who runs away from his crowded New York City apartment to live in the Catskill Mountains, surviving on his own with the help of a falcon named Frightful and learning self-sufficiency and the value of companionship. Hmm. That totally sounds like a Jeff Bender type adventure.
Very much does, yes.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting, but not familiar. He also says any of the choose-your-own-adventure books.
Yeah, and I don't remember if Encyclopedia Brown was that type, but there was also a phase when we were in grade school in my hometown where we had those choose-your-own-adventure books, and sometimes you'd have the book fair and you'd be able to get some of those as a kid. And those were always kind of fun, because technically if you make a different decision, you have a different outcome to the story. But usually still, I would go through the book once, read it, and have my own adventure and be like, all right, cool.
We're good?
Yeah, we're good. I got to the end. I got to the happy ending, so I'm good.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how many books I've read during my lifetime. With a lot of avid readers out there, we've read a lot of books.
Yep, exactly. You're well read, Bonnie. Yeah.
Judy says Anne of Green Gables. That's a wonderful story. And there's also a Netflix series, Anne of Green Gables, which is really good. I read that watched that 6-7 years ago when we were flying to Florida.
The name sounds familiar. What is that one about?
It's a young lady, and it's set in the olden times.
It's a coming of age story.
Yeah, but like kind of. It's not like Little House on the Prairie, but I would kind of put in that type of a genre.
Mm.
Very good book and Netflix series.
Yeah, which
1908 it goes back to.
Little House on the Prairie, they're doing a remake of it, I guess you'd say, or a revision of it on Netflix. I saw a commercial for that over the last week or so, and I was like, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you just kind of like, sometimes you wonder when you have. Sometimes you wonder when they take a book or something and make it into a movie, and then there's other times where you've got something that was a series from 40, 50 years ago, and they just redo it. So there's those of us that are old enough to have seen the original and really, really enjoyed it. Now you get this new version. You're like, what are they going to do to it to make it, you know, in a sense, more modern?
Well, like,
you know,
Baywatch.
I mean?
Were you into Baywatch? I mean,
no.
Maybe back in the day, but the new reboot of that.
And yeah, I mean, Baywatch, that was just weird because, you mean, some of the ones that were lifeguards, Carmen Electra, Pamela Anderson, I mean, I don't think those guys are going to save anybody.
Well, you didn't watch for their acting skills.
No,
either.
I mean, the whole
see them running around.
No, the whole joke on Friends when they watched Baywatch is just like, they're in swimsuits and they're running.
Yep.
And that was the whole point, you know.
I watched it, but it wasn't like it was must-see TV where I watched it every week or anything like that, but I saw enough episodes.
But it did have the Hoff in it. David Hasselhoff.
He didn't do much for me, but
I just liked him from Knight Rider. That was my wheelhouse for David Hasselhoff.
What was your favorite book or book series growing up? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. Give us a call. Window and Door Store phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. If you want to talk about the twister that touched down in Becker County last night, caused some damage, Floyd Lake area north of Detroit Lakes. We certainly will take your calls too on that. We know there is property damage. There's down trees. There's down power lines. Be safe. Two people hurt. The injuries are not life-threatening, and those are our latest updates. Dean was thinking maybe an EF2. But if you have information you want to share with our listeners, you can certainly do that. You can email us on the Glass Doctor Auto Inbox, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. 5:46, Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Subaru builds vehicles to last, and Corwin Subaru helps you find the right one. An incredible 96% of Subaru vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. That's a higher longevity rate than Honda or Toyota, proving that when you choose a Subaru from Corwin Subaru in Moorhead, you are getting a vehicle built for the long haul. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki working on an updated forecast for us right now. And Big Game James McCarty will be in with your WDAY Radio Sports coming up after the top of the hour news with Jim Miller. We're looking for a partly to mostly cloudy day today. Evening showers and thunderstorms. 80 for our high temp is what Dino has now, but he'll be updating that in the next 15 minutes. And we'll have an update coming up when he gets on the air with us. The shower and thunder shower activity that is occurring out in western North Dakota, putting the radar screen into motion here. It looks like it's moving pretty good, that stuff that was out in the Dickinson area down by Mott, now over by Center and New Salem. It looks like most of that is lighter stuff that will be coming into the, say, the Bismarck area, Washburn, Fort Yates, but there are some stronger thunderstorms in there as well down around Carson, North Dakota, that'll be sliding through, and we'll just see if that stuff weakens as it continues to push its way to the east. But western North Dakota getting some pretty good rain here this morning, mm-hmm. and I would imagine they could use it out west.
Yeah, I would think so as well. I mean, it's been kind of dry, but I mean, it hasn't been terrible. But at the same time, anytime we can get some much needed moisture for the farmers, and just, you know, you go back to keeping your lawns green, your plants healthy, etc., and just kind of trying to keep away that that part of the summer where everything really gets dried out and it's really crunchy under your feet and stuff. So trying to keep it as nice as possible for as long as possible and not go through these long dry spells. So,
yeah, as Mr. Kinsler said, that rain that we got last week, we had like 3 or 4 shots of rain. Mm-hmm. He said that was timely because the lawn was starting to get, you know, a little dry. I'd say we've been, I don't know what the official rating is, like Dean would be aware, but I'd say we're fairly adequate here this spring, summer.
I would think so. I mean, I think in the winter we were obviously behind where we needed to be, but then we kind of caught up with a couple big snowstorms. So I would like to think that over the spring here, especially with a week we had multiple showers, I know back in South Dakota, my hometown, my folks have probably gotten more than enough as far as they're concerned.
Lately, but they've gotten hit with quite a few storms down in South Dakota.
So I would like to think that we're at least at average rainfall levels here now at this point in the year.
Yeah, the gardens and the lawns mm-hmm. and everything's looking good out there. Question of the morning here on Bonnie and Friends. What was your favorite book or book series growing up? Window and Door Store phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. The Window and Door Store specializes in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors, thewdstore.com. You can email us on the Glass Doctor Auto inbox, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Glass Doctor Auto of Fargo-Moorhead. Contact Reed and his team today. They can turn that chip into a real budget buster if you don't get it fixed. And drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Ruben says The Outsiders. Yeah, we had that book around our house. One of my older siblings had it.
They made that into a movie, right?
Yep.
I think that was a movie my wife has mentioned several times that she loved that when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm. That was a good movie. And, yeah, a lot of good books get turned into movies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the movies are good, but are they? Yeah. Most people say the book is always better.
That's why I don't read the books if I'm going to see a movie.
I don't think I read these, but Sophia says The Babysitter's Club. That was a big series in elementary school.
Yeah, that was, I can't remember. Did my girls read that or did my sister? I forget which, you know, which generation that was.
Probably your sister, because Sophia would be her.
Yeah, I remember the name of that book series, and there were some people that really enjoyed that. I think, you know, going back to what you said about your son, I think that Diaries of a Wimpy Kid, I think my older daughter really liked that one. My youngest seemed to really enjoy ones with, like, probably more in that fantasy realm of dragons and things like mm-hmm. that. So I don't remember what her series was. I think I have it saved on my phone somewhere in case I wanted to buy it for her for a gift. So
Crash also goes with The Outsiders. Mm-hmm. I when I was real young, too, Beatrix Potter was big. That's like Peter Rabbit and Jemima Puddle Duck were among those in the series. And then when I got to be a teenager, I think a lot of young ladies or young men, Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys mystery.
Oh, yeah. That was,
I mean,
big, yeah.
There must have been 50 books or something in the series. I remember mm-hmm. reading them all growing
up.
Yeah,
those
were good mysteries. And even that TV show that they spun off into the Hardy Boys, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, those were really popular. Nancy Drew, mm-hmm. Hardy Boys, kind of in the same genre, you might say. So, yeah, those were really popular. They've been popular probably for generations, you might say.
Oh, Trevor says Goosebumps. Yeah, my kids read, mm-hmm. and I read Goosebumps, yeah. too. Those were good.
I don't remember if my girls read that. I think they watched one of the movies or something like that that they made. So,
do you remember Swamp Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. A little slightly scary. No, the TV series.
I remember the movie.
It was
kind
of like just a little scary.
I remember the movie because at one point there was a scene where they had chopped his arm off or whatever, and he reached up to the sun, and he was touching the sunlight coming into this place where they had him, the bad guy had him locked up, and his arm grew back because he was all basically more plant than man anymore. Mm. So I remember the movie.
Mm. I don't know if the movie I've seen it, but I think it was a book also.
I think it was like a comic. There was a comic book. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Justine says Sweet Valley Twins. And
is that related to the Sweet Valley High book series?
I think that's,
or is
I'm
that
not
different?
Sure.
Because that's the name that pops into my head when you say that.
It might be part of it. From Sweet, I don't know why Sweet Valley. I've run across the name of that in mm-hmm. books that I read too. Sweet Valley High. I think, I'm not sure, 1980s. Francine Pascal. Yep, same thing. So
okay,
part of the series or a spin-off series or something like that. I don't know Lurleen McDaniel. I got to Google that real quick.
Lurleen. Oh, wait, that was Jolene. My bad.
Yeah, that was different.
Similar, though.
Looks like teenage.
Yeah, it's a teenage book series for girls in high school or whatever.
American author, written more than 70 young adult books. She's well known for writing about young adults struggling with mortality and chronic illness.
Oh.
A career that began as a therapeutic way to deal with the trauma when her son, then 3, was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes.
Oh.
That sounds very interesting. Leave mm-hmm. it to Justine. Amy Jo says Mr. Men and Little Miss.
Yes.
You know that?
That's they're kind of like little, you know, Mr. Man and Little Miss. They've got like, you know, Miss Happy and Mr. Angry or whatever.
Oh,
they've got different.
I don't know that.
I just vaguely remember that. I don't know that my girls read a ton of those, but I remember seeing either stickers or, you know, notebooks or something with those on there.
Mark says The Hobbit. The Hobbit was great. I think it was a series too, I want to say.
Wasn't that related to?
It turned into a movie, too.
Yeah, the what you call it.
I don't know if it was based on the book series or not, but I probably was. J.R. Tolkien.
Mm-hmm. The Hobbit was on part of the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Barb says, as a little kid, blueberries for Sal. And as she got older, Boxcar Children.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Boxcar Children. We read that in, like, grade school or something.
We have a few of those. One of my sisters is big into, well, she buys and sells books and on like, eBay. That's like her side hustle or whatever. And I know when Logan was growing up, she had given him a couple of brand new Boxcar Children's books. So we still have them sitting on our bookshelf downstairs and keeping them for the grandkids someday.
There you go.
You don't want to throw everything out, you know. It is 5:55, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. We're talking books this morning. What was your favorite book or book series when you were growing up? Give us a call. The Window and Door Store phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. You can email us on the Glass Dr. Otto inbox, studio at WDAYradionow.com. Glass Dr. Otto of Fargo-Moorhead. Contact Reed and his team today at GlassDrOtto.com because nobody wants to see your crack. Beautiful sunshine coming up right now. It is 5:55. We're checking in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 5:58 Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. The weather has calmed down, but it's a possibility we could see some more thunderstorms and severe weather tonight. Dino working on that updated forecast. He'll be in shortly. I want to ask him about the possibility of heavy localized rain, which National Weather Service office out of Duluth had put out a statement on that. Potentially could be some storm stalling, so we'll see if he agrees with that assessment. Yesterday or last night, we did have a number of watches and warnings that were issued, including a tornado warning for Becker County, and there was a tornado touchdown happened near Floyd Lake, the west side, just north of Detroit Lakes. Two people were hurt there. They were taken to the hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries, and there's a lot of assessments and work to be done there as they've got down trees, down power lines, and damage to homes and property. So if you don't have business in that area, they are asking you to please stay away so first responders and utility crews can get that work done. Question of the morning, what was your favorite book or book series growing up? Not the Babysitter's Club. Junie B. Jones. That was one of the ones I had to Google that my girls read. That was a cute series when they were growing up.
I don't remember. My girls might have read some of those, but, I mean, the name sounds familiar.
Yeah. It was a cute little series.
Yeah.
And then also The Magic Treehouse was a big one for a lot of kids growing up, too.
Was the Magic School Bus or whatever, was that, that a was book a- series or just a TV show? Because that was an animated show on, like, PBS or something.
I'm not sure if it was a book, but I know what you're talking about on TV. Book? I Googled it real quick in an AI. It was a book, too, so probably a spinoff of the books.
I would think so.
Usually good stuff starts as a book.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Moves on from there. 6 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. And got a report from Steve a little bit earlier here this morning. We mentioned that there might be some fog in the area. He says it's like pea soup coming in from Glendon. So thanks for being the eyes out there. We do appreciate it. Lawn Man, favorite book growing up or series? He says Two in a Series by Dave Hunt, The Seduction of Christianity, Beyond Seduction. Must have read that as an older teenager, I would imagine. 6:02, Chief Meteorologist Imai Saki is here, and boy, what a night with storms, huh?
Man, I'll tell you. Yeah, it's they have a survey team going out to just north of Detroit Lakes there by Big Floyd Lake this morning to the spotters storm spotters that were chasing that storm were estimating last night it looked like something like an EF2. So we'll see. We'll see. They'll come back with the final report on that probably within the next 24 to 48 hours. But thankfully, nobody was. There were some injuries.
Two injuries, not life threatening though. Thankfully,
which is good. Yeah.
Right.
But it just goes to show you. You know, it's these things can. You know, you figure out you're on a lake. Tornado's not going to hit a lake. You know, I mean, there's so many myths. But
some people think it can't hit the heat of the city either.
Yeah,
and that's
it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So thankfully, that it's a lot quieter today. But boy, it dropped some heavy rain as well. Fauston, Waukon, 2 to 5 inches of rain. Yulin picked up a 145. So I mean, the heavy rain wasn't far from home here. While we picked up squat, I mean, we didn't get anything.
Well, you figure 45-50 miles away from here is where the tornado.
Exactly.
You know, we probably maybe lucked out. I guess.
Did luck out. Yeah. I mean, all the energy got sapped into Lakes Country and left us really with not much at all. not today. It's free air conditioning from Mother Nature this morning, 59 pleasant degrees out there. Moorhead's at 61, Yulin 58, Mayville even cooler at 54, and Grand Forks at 55. Now we'll see the clouds increase as there's another upper-level disturbance moving in from the west today, and that will produce some storms towards evening. So the first half of the day should be dry if you have any outdoor plans. But as we head towards evening, that's when storm chances increase. Highs right around 80 today with a north wind at 5 to 10. Those thunderstorms go through about the midnight hour and then push east and south. Now, some of those, again, could pack a punch, and we could get heavy rainfall with this as well. Now, this is favoring areas along and south of 94. I think the majority of the severe storms will be in the far southeastern part of the state into southern lakes country. I can't rule out a few of those getting as far north as Fargo, but most of them should be south, and so should the heavy rain. But some areas could pick up an inch to 2 inches of rain along and south of 94. And again, timing on that would be probably from about 6 p.m. through about midnight. Then the rest of the night is quiet with lows around 60. And clouds will be on the decrease on Wednesday, but highs only in the upper 70s. So a nice, pleasant day. The heat does build back in, though. In fact, hottest air of the season is on the way as we head into the upcoming weekend. I'll have more on that coming up here after the bottom of the hour.
And I know you mentioned the rain, and we could see several inches or whatever. I saw that the National Weather Service office out of Duluth said it's possible that there could be some stalling of the rain systems, and even some spots could see localized 4 to 7+ inches.
In the Duluth area?
Well, it's the Duluth office that forecasts.
So that would
be
the
range that they carry.
Yeah. That would be, I haven't even looked up there, to be honest with you. So I know this next system is generally along and south of the 94 corridor. So that's why, and I think a lot of this is going to be confined to South Dakota.
Okay. So, they've been getting hit.
I know.
Lately.
Yeah.
They're probably a little soggy in some
they
spots
are.
In the
yeah,
Northeast.
They are. And we could use a little drink of water here. So hopefully that comes up a little further north to give us a little bit of
a little bit
of moisture up here.
But nobody needs 5, 6, 7 inches
no,
of rain.
No, nobody needs that much.
Well, there was stark weather in a couple spots in North Dakota that saw 5, 6 inches of rain last week.
Mm-hmm.
One day too. That's too much.
Yeah. Well, and just like I said, Faustin, Waukon, those areas, 2 to 5 inches.
That's a lot.
And that was over about a 2 hour period. So there were, some flooding there as well.
Well, good thing the crops are further along than if
thankfully,
they were just starting.
Exactly.
Usually they can absorb that. All right, question of the morning. Were your favorite book or book series growing up? Did you read? He's shaking his head. No, you weren't a reader.
No, we were always outside playing. I mean, we would be, neighborhood kids would be outside playing till sunset.
But even like in school, you didn't go to the library and check out books?
Yeah, nothing really sticks out. Judy Blume had a series.
Yeah, Judy Blume.
Judy Blume, I remember reading those. I can't remember the name of them. Yeah, hello, Google.
No, I read the Judy Blume books growing up, too.
I remember,
nobody has mentioned that yet, but yeah, she had a lot of good books.
I remember, I can remember that, but not last week. All right.
Yeah.
But we read those. I'm trying to figure out if we had, the assignments we had in grade school. There were some, but offhand, I can't. They don't come to the top of my head.
Yeah, time escapes us, I guess.
Yeah, we didn't... we didn't read a whole, we were out playing. We were having fun.
We played outside all the time too, but I also read a lot. Maybe it was a rainy day in the house or in school. It's just I've always.
Well, no, then reading. I'd be picking on my brother and sister.
Or they were beating you and shoving you in
probably,
a closet, probably. 6:07, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:11, time for a check on our WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Did you stay up for the soccer match last night?
No, I went to bed.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah,
the Americans played real well. They gave up a goal in the first 10 minutes. And then they scored a goal 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
And they gave one up again 60 seconds after that. And then it was 2-1, and you thought, maybe they'll tie it up.
Yeah.
Until our goaltender decided that kicking the grass was better than kicking the soccer ball.
Ouch.
And we gave up a goal there, and we're down 3-1. And before you know it, in stoppage time, the Americans, as they're trying to press, give up a suspect drive the other way. And Belgium took out the United States 4-1. This is a match I was fighting with myself somewhere between thinking, okay, because Balogun did play last night, had a couple opportunities, just couldn't capitalize on it. But I was trying to fight with myself somewhere between thinking this match should have been 3-2 and thinking that maybe Belgium should have won 6-1. I mean, it was at times the Americans were competing, but Belgium did a really good job of collapsing down and taking away lanes for the United States offense. And then the other way, Belgium did a good job of whenever there was an opportunity, they capitalized and pressed the American defense. So, unfortunately for this go-around of this U.S. Men's soccer team, it really felt like the defensive liabilities were exposed last night by the Belgians. And Spain, in a different regard, a little bit lower scoring, they shut out Portugal 1-0. So you have both Belgium and Spain advancing to the quarterfinals round that will begin on Thursday. Actually, those two will square off on Friday in Los Angeles. The round of 16 wraps up today on Fox from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Argentina battles Egypt at 11 a.m. And then the final game of the round of 16 will be at 3 o'clock from Vancouver, with Switzerland battling Colombia as we work our way down from what, you know, we're sitting at with 10 teams right now down to those final eight for the quarterfinals. But per usual, really, really dominated by the European squads. You do have Morocco left in there, but other than that, you know, it's basically just straight and away going to end up, barring, I suppose, you're going to end up, you know, with Argentina and Egypt, a guarantee. So you'll have a couple of teams that are not from Europe in that quarterfinal round, but overall, Europe just doing what they normally do, and that is completely and utterly dominating the field from top to bottom. On the hardwood last night, the Minnesota Lynx were edged up by the Connecticut Sun 90-89. There was no Olivia Miles last night. She was held out for the first time in her WNBA career. She was nursing through a calf injury, and if there's one thing that we've learned in specifically basketball over the last two or three calendar years, when there is somebody who's experiencing discomfort or you know, feeling like there's something kind of tugging or not 100% in that calf, heel, Achilles, hamstring-ish area, you give them a couple days off to recover from it, because unfortunately that's how we've had the Tyrese Halliburton and the Jason Tatum and in those handful of different you know, Achilles and calf injuries in recent memory. So Olivia Miles held out very much due to precautionary reasons last night.
Smart
and I'm 100% in for that. On a bright spot, Dorca Juhas did make her 2026 season debut, logging 25 minutes off the bench. She struggled shooting overall, 1-for-6 from 3-point range, but she did knock one down. She had 3 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. In that ball game, Courtney Williams had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, while Kayla McBride paced the way for the Lynx with 28 points in total. Minnesota dropping to 15-6 on the year, and since I've mentioned that Cheryl Reeve is tied with Mike Thibault for the most wins in WNBA history as a head coach at 379, the Lynx have lost back-to-back games. So maybe I should stop mentioning it on Wednesday night when they're in Connecticut against the Sun, as she tries to become the outright winningest regular season coach in WNBA history, with a third crack at it on Wednesday night and a second time against the Sun here this week. After off days on Monday, the Minnesota Twins begin a six-game homestand entering the All-Star break. That is a week from today. They take on the Cleveland Guardians tonight at 6:40 on Twins TV, with Taj Bradley on the mound for Minnesota. Joey Cantillo will counter for Cleveland. The Twins are 44-47 here at this point on the season. And just for an update, kind of where we're sitting standings-wise, the Twins are in third place in the AL Central. They are 3.5 games ahead of fourth place Detroit. They are 7 games ahead of last place Kansas City. They find themselves 3 games behind second place Cleveland and 4 games behind, of all teams, the Chicago White Sox, who are leading the American League Central at 47-42. So it's a hodgepodge division at this point, whereas between Minnesota, Cleveland, and Chicago, you're looking at a 4-game difference, as we're right about that 90-game mark of the regular season. The White Sox have played 89, whereas the Twins and Guardians have each played 91.
That's crazy to
this point.
But I suppose when I see your split on 40-some games and 40 wins, 40 losses, whatever,
It sneaks up on you. They're approaching the All-Star break in the next week. And for the Red Hawks, you know, we're going to be just shy after this series in Sioux City against the Explorers of being at the midway point of the regular season. So actually, barring any weather delays after Saturday night, the Red Hawks will officially be halfway through their regular season, which is crazy to think about.
Right.
But they begin that 3-game set in Sioux City against the Explorers tonight. 6:35 will be the first pitch as the Red Hawks enter play with a record of 22-23 on the season. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. We'll get you up to speed in the local sports scene as we look ahead to the Minnesota Wild, the offseason moves they made to this point, the Timberwolves trying to finalize officially that that deal that would bring Isaiah Evans to Minnesota and LaMelo Ball to Minnesota, and those, of course, shipping out of Naz Reid and company. And then also, we're approaching the Lions All-Star Basketball Games. That'll be here on WDAY Radio Thursday night beginning at 6 o'clock. The boys and girls doubleheaders with the A and B All-Stars against the AA All-Stars in a couple of great bouts. So they're actually in Bismarck on Wednesday, but we'll have full coverage Thursday when they're at Fargo South beginning at 6 o'clock. So we've got a lot to discuss this week, a lot of great conversations, and we're looking forward to some great local sports as we're a week into July, so it's going to, over the next handful of weeks, start picking back up again for us just slowly before it feels like we end up running through a wall.
August,
which
is
all right. Which is all right with me. So that's going to be a ton of fun. Looking forward to it. And that means, I mean, as we approach August, for me, it's kind of the apex of the summer with a NASCAR weekend in Iowa, too. So that's only a handful of weeks away, just under 5 weeks now. And rumor has it there will be more family there than ever before this year. So
fun.
It's it could be an absolute free-for-all, which is all right.
That's okay.
I'm okay with pictures and videos.
Please.
I'm okay with it. So if it turns into a total free-for-all, that means I'll be the butt end of the joke, and that's all right.
That's all right.
That tends to happen regardless.
Mm-hmm. There could be some fog depending on where you're traveling this morning. The report came in a little over an hour ago. Steve was coming in from Glendon, and he said it was like pea soup about an hour ago. So just heads up for that as you are traveling. Flatland Music Flashback's going to be coming your way about 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this group. They released their second studio album back in 1978, and it featured their first top 30 single, which was a cover of an Al Green song. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. And don't forget, today is Name That Jingle, sponsored by ZD's, right after Dean's 3-Degree Guarantee, about 7:47, 7:50. We'll get a contestant lined up. We'll play part of a commercial jingle. And if you can identify it correctly, you will win a $25 gift certificate to ZD's Italian American at the Lights. If you're trying to win that, make sure you have not won anything in the past month. Couple of fun food news stories, one involving Pringles, another one involving Girl Scout cookies, and we'll talk about that straight ahead. 6:24, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Bonnie Mastotti, Jace Denman, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, calling for pretty good chance we'll see showers, maybe some thunder showers tonight. Most of the rain occurring now is in western North Dakota, working its way into the central part of the state. Possibility for some thunderstorms and several inches of rain. So make sure you keep your radio tuned to WDAY, and Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will keep us updated on the latest weather developments. Couple of interesting food stories. I know this caught your eye too, Jace. Pringles is out with a 3-pack of Pringles pop dog buns. So they're hot dog buns. And they come in the Pringles canister, right? Yeah. Like you get one of each in there. One of them is sour cream and onion topped.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And honey mustard. That one doesn't sound good to me, but I think the others two do.
I mean, if you're making a hot dog on it, I mean, most people want
like
mustard.
Okay.
You know, and I think on the website, if you clicked on the website, then I think there also had like some suggestions on how to top your dog using these flavored buns. And
I would top them with some crunched up. Say if you're using the sour cream and onion hot dog bun from Pringles, I'd crunch up some sour cream and onion just to be, not that I would normally do that, but just kind of stick with the theme.
And it was funny because I think I came across this on Facebook yesterday when I put it in the Slack channel, and I think it was something like where people were just like, well, why haven't we've done all these different toppings on hot dogs. Why haven't we flavored the buns? It's always a plain bun, you know, a kind of a whatever type of hot dog. If it's a famous Nathan's hot dog, or if it's somebody wants a turkey dog or whatever it is, we leave that as the base, and then we put all these different toppings on it. But why not do something different like flavor the buns? Mm-hmm. So you've got three different flavors, kind of take your hot dog experience to the next level and kind of experiment with a little bit.
Well, currently they're out of stock. You have to order them online. And I kind of chuckle because it says
limited quantities.
It says they're free, but then they're $6.97 is what they are. Shipping and handling, I'm sure, is what they're charging you for. Limit one bag per order. I guess you can go on there if they happen to release more or whatever, so you can be notified. But it looks like, I know, as soon as we find out about this stuff, it's already sold out.
Oh, yeah. It's like, well, I would have never, ever thought they were doing something like this. I saw it, and I thought, so many times we see the special Oreo flavors that are coming out for a certain time of year, and they'll have something silly like, you know, turkey and dressing flavored Oreos, and you're just like, what? No way. And then it's just a AI generated picture. It's just a joke.
Well,
or whatever,
I had to
fact
check to make sure it's legit, and it actually is legit. So if you want to, you know, go to the Pringles website and get on a waiting list, they'll notify you when the product's in stock. But I don't know, because it looks like it's a limited time. There's like 3 more weeks you have to use the buns by July 27th. So I don't know if they'll release more. Also interesting, we love our Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
We don't have one. Well, maybe we do in a convenience store, but are there any I know there's not a standalone Krispy Kreme. We used to have it and it closed, but is there like a Krispy Kreme like in a convenience store or anything like that locally here?
I don't know that there is one inside of it. I think there's a place where they probably sell some Krispy Kremes, so they get a, you know, certain donuts. I don't know how old they would be, but I think they get some that they can just flat out sell. Mm. But they're not being made in the gas station.
No.
And I was starting to think of, I thought there was one in a gas station down in a truck stop in Sioux Falls, but that's actually Cinnabon, so that's completely different.
Twin Cities for sure. I mean, there's Krispy Kremes in the region, but these actually look really good. A Girl Scout cookie inspired Krispy Kreme donuts. They look delicious, like the thin mint one. It's got like chunks of, looks like chocolate cookie broken up, and then they do like a mint green drizzle across it. So they made them look pretty fancy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if you're traveling. Oh, and then the Samoa, that's the one with the coconut. And
pass.
I know you don't like coconut. I made the most delicious cookies last week, and you missed out on them.
Well, if they had coconut, I didn't miss much.
Nobody knew they were coconut, but they were good. These look really good. And then there's a lemon one. One of them just looks like a plain glazed donut. So there's 4 different flavors in this Krispy Kreme.
The plain glazed one was probably the lemon cookie one.
Well, it says Thin Mints, lemon up, but I'm seeing a lemon looking one. So what I think
that'd be the lemon up.
Yeah, but that one looks like lemon. Like it's got a yellow glaze and it's got yellow on it. But there's one that just looks like a plain. I think they just mixed some plain old glazed donuts.
They probably did, yeah.
Because they're only listing the 3 flavors, and clearly there's 4 different flavors in that box. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those look tasty. Well, yeah. So if you're by a Krispy Kreme, obviously these are going to be limited time too, probably this month. It just says they're available for a limited time beginning today, but. Yeah. If you are by a Krispy Kreme and you want them, you probably should get them sooner rather.
But if you're in the FM area, you know where to go for donuts.
Sandy's.
Yeah.
Well, that's why.
I thought I read something about Sandy's Donuts coming out with a different flavor of their angel cream filling. So instead of plain angel cream filling, which is white, they've got a chocolate one. I thought they were doing like a strawberry angel cream filling or something. I can't remember where I saw that article. I should have put it in our Slack channel.
Well, you were probably like down in Arizona, but we did have a Krispy Kreme that was probably around.
I was here.
Were you?
I was here because that's where that Comfort King or whatever one is now over by Walmart. And my wife, growing up in the South and having Krispy Kremes all over the place, I mean, it was a big deal. Like, there was a Krispy Kreme donut place in Phoenix. Area where I don't remember which suburb or if it was actually in Phoenix, but they had a Krispy Kreme, and I think nearby they had an In-N-Out Burger, and those were the only of those franchises in Arizona, because, you know, In-N-Out's West Coast out in California, Krispy Kreme kind of the Southeast, and those places were always just packed because they were the only ones in just like an entire state area. So you know, sometimes you have them and they're super, super popular. They put one here in Fargo and
lasted just over 5 years. Yeah. It closed in 2000, opened in 2002, closed in 2007. So
yeah. So
Sandy's, it's called Sandy's.
Yeah.
That's
so
why.
We got here and we saw the, you know, the Krispy Kreme, cause we moved here in 07 and all of a sudden that closed and you're like, why did that close? But then
good
of course
reason.
you go to Sandy's Donuts and you're like,
Yeah. 6:31. 6:32, time for a check on our forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
Well, tell you what, yeah, it was a rocky evening last night. Areas north, just north of Detroit Lakes, Big Floyd Lake area specifically, got hit by a tornado. Now, the storm spotters were guessing it looked like about an EF2, but the National Weather Service has their survey team out there this morning to survey the damage, and they'll be able to tell by the damage how strong this tornado was. So we should have more on that within 24 to 48 hours. The National Weather Service should have something on that. Now, today, well, it's a nice pleasant start to the morning with temperatures in the 50s to near 60. We'll see increasing clouds. There's rain out in the central and western part of the state approaching the Bismarck area. That is moving eastward. So we'll see the clouds increase throughout the day. We'll see showers pulling in as we head towards the afternoon, but a better chance of showers and storms towards the evening hours, with highs around 80 and north winds at about 5 to 10. Those thunderstorms will continue through the evening hours, and some of those could be on the strong to severe side, specifically the 94 corridor southward, where some areas could pick up some heavy rain. 1 to 2 inches of rain can't be ruled out as well. But those should be out of the area shortly after midnight, leaving the rest of the night on the quieter side with lows around 60, north winds 5 to 10, and decreasing clouds on Wednesday with highs in the upper 70s. And then heat starts to build in. Thursday, partly cloudy, mid-80s, and then we're right around 90 on Friday, and we're in the low 90s on Saturday and upper 90s both Sunday and Monday. Dangerous heat. I'm sure we'll have heat advisories or heat warnings in effect for the latter part of the weekend. So, again, this would be borderline dangerous heat for Sunday
humidity
and Monday.
Too?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Humidity, wind, and Saturday just hot, but Sunday and Monday we're looking at dangerous heat. So if you're gonna be, you want to limit your time outdoors on that Sunday Monday time frame with the heat the way it is. So
stay inside, read a book.
Stay inside.
Thanks, Mom.
Air conditioning. Or, hey, the lake, you know, the lake, a pool, just have some.
Hydrate, drink
lots of water. Yes, drink plenty of water. That doesn't mean beer.
No, yeah, exactly. It does not.
Speaking of beer, you know what today is? 7-7, it's National Dive Bar Day today. What is or was your favorite dive bar?
The Cowboy Bar in Tucson, Arizona.
Ooh, okay.
That was just a local dive bar, and like the one night a week where the bar that I worked at was closed, that one was open. No, it was the Cow Pony. Excuse me, the Cow Pony. I'm sorry. The Cow Pony. And I think that place is still in business to this day. I mean, that's been probably 30 years ago since I moved away from Tucson.
Well, a lot of people here in town would say Rick's, Specs, Duffy's, along the line of those. There was I don't know if you considered it really a dive bar, but it was weird. It was right on the main drag going out of St. Cloud. It was called the Hitchin Post.
Okay.
They had live bands there and stuff and dance bar back in the day.
Yep. Yeah. Mine was there's one down in Scottsdale. I can't think of the name of it offhand. It's a super cool bar. My buddy still owns it, WC's.
Oh, yeah.
Down in Lincoln. And, a total dive bar, but, it was fun. You know, the people there were like family and, and it was right next to a diner and one of the top a dive bar
placement.
Diner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'd get done with the bar and you'd go over to the diner to try and sober up.
The bar that I worked at was called the Cactus Moon, country bar with a big dance floor and stuff in it. And right outside of it, we had one guy that I don't even know what his name was. I think his name was Dave or something, but he was always just, I think his business was called Moondog. So he'd set up right outside the entryway to the Cactus Moon, and he would sell hot dogs to people. And so, of course, that was still the best chili cheese nacho dog or whatever that I got.
Well, after a few drinks,
well,
I'm sure it was.
Just when you're drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Dean's Weather This Hour brought to you by Integrity Convenience Store. If you need lunch plans, stop by Integrity Convenience Store in the Old Don's Car Wash, 52nd Avenue South, now with new local owners. Grab lunch, eat in, or take it to go. They've got barbecued pulled pork, homemade mac and cheese, and the best chicken in town. Integrity Convenience Store located on 52nd Avenue, 25th Street South in Fargo. 6:37, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty as your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:42, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
On the hardwood last night, the Minnesota Lynx were oh so close, but ultimately fall short to the Connecticut Sun from the Target Center, 90-89. Kaylin McBride did have 28 points to pace the Lynx, while Courtney Williams would add 23 points, 9 rebounds, along with 6 assists and 3 steals. Dorky Juhas made her 2026 season debut, logging 25 minutes with 3 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists off the bench. As for the star rookie point guard, Olivia Miles, she did not play in the game due to a calf injury, more precautionary than anything at this point. Minnesota dropping to 15-6 on the year. Cheryl Reeves still tied with Mike Thibault for the most regular season wins by a head coach in WNBA history at 379, an opportunity to set herself apart alone in WNBA history for head coaching wins again on Wednesday night when the Lynx play the Sun again. This time it'll be in Connecticut, though, and it'll be nationally televised on USA Network. On the diamond tonight, after an off day for the Twins, they begin a 6-game homestand entering the All-Star break as they battle the second-place Cleveland Guardians. 6:40 tonight's the first pitch. Twins TV is the coverage. Todd Bradley on the mound for Minnesota as the Twins are 44-47 on the year. And yes, when I say that the Guardians are in second place in the Central and the Twins are 3 games under 500, that means that the forever rebuilding Chicago White Sox find themselves on top of the AL Central at 47-42 on the year, a game ahead of Cleveland and 4 games ahead of third place Minnesota. For the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, we, at the end of the weekend, will officially be midway through the regular season. They hit the road for a 3-game midweek set against the Explorers in Sioux City. First pitch tonight's at 6:35. The Redhawks, they've been just, they've been fighting and scratching to try and break 500. They even got to 500 last weekend, but couldn't get over that hump. They lost the series finale to the Monarchs. So the Redhawks enter play at 22-23 here on the season as we approach the midway point of the regular season.
Got a younger team this year?
A little bit. I mean, there's some younger pieces. There are some, there's probably a little bit less returners is probably the best way to put it. There was about a half a dozen guys that returned from last year's squad overall. And so, you know, a couple of guys get contracts bought out. They go to minor league ball clubs within the Major League Baseball circuit and a couple of things of those sorts. And before you know it, it's about trying to get that chemistry back up, that, you know, everything firing at all cylinders, and you'll play some good baseball again. So the Redhawks started out hot. They cooled off, and now they're trying to get hot again a week out from their All-Star break. And for the World Cup, last night, Spain defeated Portugal 1-0, while Belgium took down the United States 4-1. The round of 16 wraps up today on Fox, beginning with Argentina against Egypt at 11 a.m., followed up by Switzerland against Colombia at 3 p.m., both on Fox. And the quarterfinals then will begin on Thursday. Running out sports here for this hour. Tonight, we'll have primetime sports at 6:30. We'll get you up to speed in the sports scene. The Minnesota Wild, as they continue to reshape the roster, making a push for a true number one center alongside Eriksson Ek, Kaprizov, Hughes, and company. For the Timberwolves, they're still awaiting the paperwork to finalize all the trades from a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, we also have the Lions All-Star basketball games that will take place later on this week that we're excited for as well. So a lot of good stuff tonight. Primetime sports as we get ready and updated as we're officially in the month of July.
And it was cool, too, watching Banana Ball here in town a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Some couple of former Redhawks players, mm-hmm. Carell Prime and what was the other one, Brett Helton, played Banana Ball. So that's a step up to a different, interesting league.
Yeah, Carell Prime, this is his second season, I believe. Yeah, he was a ton of fun when he was with the Redhawks. And now a cool opportunity with him. So
I mean, it's just another opportunity for these players, you know, if they not making the majors or whatever, there's just different opportunities for them to continue.
And it's a little bit more relaxed and fun and kind of, you know, exciting.
How many times are you playing professional baseball? You got to learn choreography for a new dance or something. So
it's entertaining.
But only in Banana Ball.
My question would be, though, what is the pay scale in Banana Ball for the players?
I looked it up when we were at the game because I'm like, I bet they don't make much. I think the average pay was over $100,000 for the players?
I don't know. That could be better than maybe some minor league contracts.
That's better than just about every minor league contract.
Is it really?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're fighting for that, you know, 50s.
Sure.
In minor league baseball.
Well, and then this is a way you can stay, you know, active and involved in baseball, continue playing, kind of a different offshoot, kind of show your personality a bit more in these games, and then also make a living doing it.
Yeah, a lot more money.
And I don't know, are they doing it year-round, or is it just kind of during the summertime, during the
Like the true winter months, they take a break. There's like a three-month gap, kind of like how big league baseball works. So
cool.
Yeah, they get going kind of late winter, early spring.
Gotcha.
Start at about 70, 75 grand, and the average player making over $100,000, so very cool. It was on this date in entertainment history, fans said farewell to a superstar in an emotional memorial service. Find out who it is, Flatland Music Flashback. That's going to be coming your way around 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1984, this famous musician started a five-week run at number one with this song. It was his first number one hit, and it went on to sell over 2 million copies. We'll talk about that and so much more coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
702, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Calm now here this morning.
Yes. Again, if you're just joining us, I'm sure you heard about the damage from a tornado just north of DL out around Big Floyd Lake. So the National Weather Service does have their survey team out there this morning surveying how much damage, and they'll be able to rate what this tornado was, EF1 or EF2. It's going to be one or the other, it looks like.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of the TV coverage here this morning. Lots of tree damage.
Yeah.
That's not solely based on wind speed, though, Dino?
It is, yeah. The EF rating is based on wind speed, and they can tell what it is with how much damage was done.
If there's a piece of straw just rammed into a tree.
I guess that's one way you could, yeah.
I mean, seriously,
they could tell by the damage. They have those survey teams that are trained in that to be able to tell.
Gotcha.
And you know, if you've got Endon sites out there too, but they don't, unfortunately, in Becker County. So they should have that within 24 hours. But thankfully, there were no deaths from that tornado out there yesterday. Now, today, a quieter day, but we do have a chance for more severe storms as we head into the evening hours from about, let's say, 6 o'clock through midnight. Looks to be the key time frame if we're going to have severe weather. Now, the rest of today, we're looking at a sunny start here in the FM area, but notice out west, there's clouds, and we'll see those clouds sticking up. And we'll see showers pulling into the area as we head towards afternoon. The best chance of rain coming in this evening with high today around 80, north winds 5 to 10. Those thunderstorms during the evening hours, and again, some of those could be on the strong to severe side, favoring areas along and south of 94. So the Southern Valley and the Southern Lakes Country has the best shot for seeing severe weather, and also could see some heavy rain with these as well along and south of 94. We'll drop down to 60 overnight, and then quiet Wednesday, decreasing clouds, but cooler, 78 for a high, and then we start our warm-up. Mid-80s on Thursday, upper 80s on Friday, low 90s on Saturday, and upper 90s on Sunday and Monday. Dangerous heat coming in for the back half of the weekend with heat index readings probably approaching 110 because we're going to have the heat and the humidity with it. If you're going to be out this weekend, especially Sunday, stay hydrated, water, and you know, if you can be by a pool, a lake, refreshing, that's a good recommendation. But a very hot weekend coming our way, so hottest weekend of the summer, looks like so far. And hey, you know what? Lake pool lovers, they're loving this.
I mean, I'm sure.
They're loving this. So get out and enjoy it, but just, again, be on the safe side.
All right, thank you, Dino. Weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation.
And we've got a power outage in South Fargo here this morning. Looks like about 1,800 Cass County Electric customers are without power. Basically, 64th Avenue South to 76th Avenue South. Cass County Electric on that. They are working to restore power. No word yet on when they hope to get power restored. It is 7:05. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 709 Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We've got a Road Warrior report, traffic backup, I-94 eastbound, backed up to Cheyenne. Looks like maybe two stretches and then backed up to the tri-level too, but we've got some construction going on.
I'm on my way in yesterday. It's got a sign saying that there was road construction starting on the 6th, which was yesterday. And I don't know how long that's going to last, how long it's going to affect traffic, but for a large part, it's down to one lane. When you get that extra lane coming on at 45th, it looked like there was two lanes for a while, but I don't have to travel much past the interchange, Bonnie. So it was there yesterday when I left here yesterday morning. Obviously, it's continuing today, so it's going to affect traffic heading eastbound on 94 for, I would assume, the next couple of weeks minimum.
It's road construction season. So, yeah, maybe give yourself extra cushion time if you're trying to get to work on time. 710 Big Game. James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports.
The FIFA World Cup round of 16 is concluding today, but last night Spain defeated Portugal 1-0 and Belgium over the United States 4-1. As Spain and Belgium will now battle it out in the quarterfinals round on Friday. But the round of 16 will wrap up today on Fox, 11 a.m. It's a doubleheader. Argentina against Egypt. Then at 3 o'clock, you'll have Switzerland battling Colombia in Vancouver as the quarterfinals round will officially begin on Thursday. For the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they have a road trip down to Sioux City to battle the Explorers. After an off day on Monday, they'll have first pitch tonight at 6:35 as they try and scratch and claw their way back to .500 as they enter play with a record of 22-23 on the season. For the Minnesota Twins, they have a six-game homestand that they're going to open up tonight against the Cleveland Guardians as they approach the All-Star break. First pitch at 6:40, coverage available on Twins TV. Taj Bradley on the mound for Minnesota. The Twins in third in the AL Central at 44-47 on the season. For the Guardians, they sit in second in the division at 47-44, which means the White Sox at 47-42 currently hold the AL Central lead as we are right about that 90-game mark of the regular season. On the hardwood last night, the Minnesota Lynx were edged out by the Connecticut Sun by the slimmest of margins, 90-89. Kaylee McBride paced the way with 28 points for Minnesota, followed up by 23 points from Courtney Williams, while Natasha Howard had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a couple of blocks in that ballgame. Dorca Juhas made her 2026 season debut with 25 minutes off the bench, tallying 3 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists, while rookie point guard Olivia Miles did not play. The first game of her WNBA career she missed. It was due to a calf injury, more or less precautionary than anything at this point as the Lynx fall to 15-6 on the season. They will now head to Connecticut to battle the Sun Wednesday night, and it will be nationally televised on USA Network. Running out sports here for this hour tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. We will get you updated on the local sports scene as the Wild continue to restructure and reshape their roster. And for the Timberwolves, we are only just over 48 hours away from Summer League officially tipping off for the Pack and the excitement of what some future Wolves stars can do on the court. Again, tonight, primetime sports, 6:30 here on WDAY Radio.
Bonnie and Friends phone lines brought to you by the Window and Door Store. They specialize in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors. The WDStore.com, 701-293-9000. Keep that number handy. Coming up after Dean's 3-degree guarantee, about 747, 750, we will play Name That Jingle, sponsored by ZD's. We will be looking for caller number 7 at that point. And if you can properly identify the commercial jingle we play, you will win a $25 gift certificate to ZD's Italian American at the Lights. And make sure you have not won anything in the past month if you plan on trying to win that. This is a weird story out of Australia, and I think maybe 2 weeks ago we saw where they did an initial story saying that these large, kind of metallic-y looking balls were found on a beach. You remember, did you ever play cage ball in like elementary school? Like the big ball, like big ball? These spheres kind of look like Christmas bulbs, so it's got like a top that looks like the Christmas bulb, but on the other end, and they're large balls. They're, I don't know.
And what did they call those, Bonnie?
What?
These things they found.
Spheres.
I thought they called them space balls.
Well, we're getting there. I haven't gotten to that. There was.
I was waiting for the theme music that I sent you yesterday.
I didn't make that connection. That's why you sent me that. Yeah, these metal spheres, they've identified them now as space balls. And it was a mystery. They had no idea what caused these to fall on a beach. And they were just sitting there. And there was weird. A mystery. And
unless there's some kind of... you see those giant, like, orange ones that they have, and maybe I'm getting them confused in a sense with weather balloons, but it seems like sometimes they have these giant orange ones that kind of float on top, almost like a bobber when you're fishing, but they're holding some type of device there in place for, you know,
like a buoy. Weather.
Yeah, like a buoy, like monitoring something out on the ocean or something like that. So I didn't know if they were something like that, but...
No, they figured it was debris that something in space from one of the launches... kind of broke up in these large space balls. Like, I don't know. Like I said, Al, I can compare them to. They were as big as the cage ball we kicked around when we were kids.
For those that remember the Spaceballs movie by Mel Brooks, think of that theme song and Bonnie talking about space balls.
Isn't there a new Spaceball movie?
Yeah, they're making it. It's coming out.
You just sent me that, and that's what I
thought. I thought you were going to click on and listen to it, because it was the song. I didn't send you the movie.
No, I did, but I didn't know that's why you sent it in regards to the Spaceballs story.
I saw the term Spaceballs, and then my first thought went to the Spaceballs theme.
Yeah, I only thought about it because you sent it because they were working on another movie or a movie.
The funniest part, though, is that Bonnie gave me a thumbs up. So I was like, all right, she gets it. She'll play this when she's talking about Spaceballs.
I had no idea, but... I mean, people were told to not touch these and stay away because I suppose they could potentially be radioactive,
coming
out of space.
I mean, if that's where you think they came from, if they're some sort of, you know, from a spaceship or something, you don't know. I mean, usually when, you know, you see the astronauts splash down in the ocean, you get them, they get checked out, they get tested for radiation, because sometimes when you're out of the Earth's atmosphere, that, you know, the sun's radiation, a lot of it gets blocked by our atmosphere. So when you're out there and you don't have that protection, you want to make sure you're all checked out and good to go. So, you don't want to messing with it. But at the same time, I would assume that for the most part, they're probably okay. I mean, they're not going to cause any damage to Australia or whatever. But, you might just want to heed the expert's advice until they can really identify what the heck they are.
Yeah, one expert, Alice Gorman, she's a university professor at Flinders University, says... many rockets and spacecraft have liquid fuel systems that involve fuels under high pressure. Yep. These are in the pressure vessels made over robust material, whatever that means. Part of the fuel system will survive, often because their melting points are higher than the temperature coming back through the atmosphere. So it's believed these space balls landed in the ocean and then tides carried them on shore.
Nice.
He's still laughing over his space ball song. Like, how am I supposed to know? You just sent me a random song. Yeah. And I knew they were working on a movie because we talked about it a couple of weeks back.
But the title of the article, it said Spaceballs.
How did I know that that point in time when I was throwing stuff in our Slack channel?
Because you said you had Spaceballs in the story, so I sent you a Spaceball song. And it's still funny to hear Bonnie Amistadi talk about Spaceballs.
I know. Big power outage in South Fargo. Cass County Electric is working on that. It looks like 1,700 customers are affected by it. No word on when they hope to get power restored, but it was like 64th to 76th Avenue, somewhere in that vicinity.
They don't have a cause for that, just a random outage, because obviously storms were through the area. It didn't likely affect too much in the Fargo-Moorhead area.
Because this started about 6:30 this morning from what I'm able to see here. Well, between 64th Avenue to 76th Avenue.
Looking at Dean's forecast for the weekend, let's hope obviously there's no outages coming up this weekend, because that would be miserable.
No, and then where that tornado touched down, Floyd Lake, Becker County area. Yep. They've got power outages. Yeah. They've got trees down. Likely some of those trees took down the power lines as well. And we've seen numerous updates here on the TVs this morning. Mm-hmm. And it looks like pretty extensive damage in some spots. But the good news is we know of two injuries, but they were not life-threatening.
Yep, no casualties. Mm-hmm. So that's always good, because, I mean, growing up in the Midwest, I still remember when I lived in Arizona, there was the big tornado in South Dakota that basically took the town of Spencer, South Dakota, off the map. And you have that fear at times for small towns in the Midwest when they have a tornado, that quite honestly, with the size of a town, and if it's only, 250, 300 people like my hometown, I mean, you have enough damage to that place, that town may never exist as it was ever again.
Yeah.
It might just be a few people decide to rebuild and that's it. So
very sad. Mm-hmm. But like I said, good news is at this point, we're only aware of a couple of non-life-threatening injuries. Drones doing more than spraying fields. That's something WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel will cover in your Ag News next.
7:22, we head out to the farm to talk to our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Oh, dandy. And I won't bring up anything in regards to South Dakota State University, so you'll be okay, Jace.
Thanks goodness.
Well, me too. okay, drones. Uh-huh. We talk about them a fair amount. They are sort of the big thing going on in agriculture. Many think that they're going to replace what we do when it comes to treating fields by ground or by airplane. Mm-hmm. But I think they're finding a new niche in a new market. And so I don't think we're going to see them replace somebody. They're just going to complement what folks are doing already in the field. And there's an awful lot of changes that have happened in the last couple of years. One is that there are new carrier volumes being determined that can change your spray coverage and your herbicide concentration. So when you're spraying a field, you're going to use the recommended rate. But you also add adjuvants to that to help the product work better for control of the plant. Some of these adjuvants can require a fairly sizable volume, you know, a quart per 100 gallons, etc. And some of these things get to be just so much liquid. So there are companies out there like SprayTech who are developing and determining the adjuvants that you can use that are more concentrated, so you can use the lower amount but still have the same efficacy. So as farmers start to head into the late summer when they're going to different meetings and events, farm shows, fairs, they may see some of these products advertised. Don't just walk by and ignore them. Look at them a little more closely. Have the discussion if they are, in fact, something that's a good fit for your farm or for your drone spray business. Mm. That might be a good idea.
Yeah.
There is discussion right now about eliminating the line of sight rule. When you're spraying with a drone, you have to still be able to see it. And when you're on a field that's large,
it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, to see to the other end with that speck out there in the sky, that's going to be troublesome.
Mm-hmm.
So the FAA is in looking at and investigating the idea of removing the line of sight rule when it comes to this spraying for agriculture. We don't know if that's going to happen as of yet, so nobody start planning for it and redoing their spray plans, etc. But there's a chance that that could, in fact, be the case down the road, which would help.
I guess. I mean, my question would be is that a lot of times when you see like these, if you see the competitive drone pilots where they have drone racing or you've got some people that are using with cameras or whatever, sometimes they'll even put on basically like it kind of looks like a VR headset or something. So you've got the cameras mounted on it and that's what you're watching, where the drone is going and what you're seeing. So I guess my question is for the drones that are being used to spray fields, are they basically being controlled by a human operator with a remote control, like a remote control car, that you have to see it and turn it, et cetera? Or are they using those cameras on them with kind of a virtual headset to kind of just act like you're inside the drone flying it?
Most that I have seen and been a part of means that they're flying with big remote control, not mm-hmm. with the VR headsets.
Okay.
Now, could that be changing, or maybe I haven't seen that? That's very possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that if someone has a different take on it, they can always email me, ag@flagfamily.com, and let me know. But I'm just going based on what I've seen and worked with.
What is the average size of a field that someone is using to use a drone applicator to put herbicides and pesticides on crops?
It's not an easy question to answer, because if we think about what's been happening in the region as of late, and it's been so wet in the north of us, certainly not south of us, because I'm seeing some questionable corn out there. But if you go north of us and they can't get in by ground because it's too wet, maybe they're using a drone on an 80-acre field. If you are in a fungicide situation with sugar beets and you don't want to take a ground rig in and run down leaves, you might be spraying 160-acre field. Mm-hmm. there are times where you just need to get into a smaller, maybe 10 or 20 acre area, or you're just doing some pasture. So there's a lot of variability in the places in which they use them. I'm not sure we can guess what the average field size is, yes, because it will depend on the application that we're trying to do.
I thought maybe that was like significantly smaller, you know, than
not necessarily.
And
truthfully, because our batteries have gotten so much better, as well as the tanks and the payload on those bigger operations as well, those bigger drones.
Makes sense.
And my favorite new application, if you've got a bunch of cows or some sheep standing around, flies are a problem, and they're disease carriers. Well, now, if your animals are used to having a drone, you can use that drone to drop fly control products.
Oh, nice.
Whether around the herd, or if, you know, if you have a pen that's empty where there's no animals in there, and it's a lot easier to spray the drone over it than having to spray by hand or something. So I think that's a great step up for our livestock producers as well.
Well, it definitely is. Plus, you know, I would have to go out on a limb and say it's probably more fun than spraying it by hand with some sort of tank. And, you know, maybe you're on your four-wheeler, so it's not so bad and you're able to spray a bigger area. But, yeah, I mean, spraying a small pasture with some bug spray or whatever, you know, but by drone, it's kind of, you know, it's accomplishing the job. It also makes it more entertaining.
I think it would probably do that, yes.
Yeah.
We so often hear that it's knee-high by the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're past that. And part of the reason we're past that is we plant corn much earlier than during the colonial times, when that saying was very true, because we were doing things much more rudimentary. But it also matters when we are spraying those fields, we don't judge it on the height of the plant. We actually count the colors. So when you think about a corn plant, as you look at it from the bottom up, as each leaf is developed, each leaf has a collar that clasps around the stalk. And as it's doing that, you count those collars to determine its vegetative state. And that's how we decide some of our spray patterns. And you have to be really good at doing it, especially through the ugly corn stage. That's roughly V2 to V3.5. And the V stands for vegetative state 2 to vegetative 3.5, because that's when the plant is shifting its dependence from the seed root to its permanent root system called the nodal roots. And they start to get really well developed, and then they start doing the heavy lifting for water and nutrient uptake. And that's pretty vulnerable for the plant. But it does make a difference when we're applying things, when it says don't apply past V5 with a herbicide, or you have to wait until you get to a V10 to apply a fungicide. And knowing those colors and counting the fully visible ones do help to determine that stage and make sure you're accurate in your applications.
So I thought the ugly corn state was just when you had those one corn stalks that had the mold on them, you know?
Smut.
Yeah, that's the ugly corn stage in my book, because that's what I'd used to see in the field next door to our house.
Well, you're probably not wrong about that being a little ugly. That's not the prettiest looking thing I've
seen. No, it is not.
Well. So, well, those are just some of the things that we can talk about that's going on in corn right now. I can definitely tell you that, especially as we get south of Highway 200, she's dry. There's a number of folks on the North Dakota side. We'd like to see some rainfall. We're seeing the leaves starting to roll up, and we call it pineappling when it starts to show that droughty stress to it. So let's just see what develops. I was told there'd be rain this morning. I'm not really feeling it anymore. So
well, if it holds together, it looks like I see it
this afternoon, this evening.
As I put the radar in motion, I see it kind of opening up in that area that you're talking about. I hope not.
There's kind of that. So, but on Fit Farmer Focus today with Essentia Health, we're going to talk about chiropractic care. So if you think you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders and back, maybe the chiropractors at Essentia Health can help you with some better plans on not to do that. So join us then from 1 to 2 o'clock, and you can always email me, ag@flagfamily.com.
Thank you, Bridget.
Have a great day.
You too. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. It is 7:30. 7:32, some parts of western central North Dakota are seeing showers and thunder showers. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our forecast.
Yeah, and those are moving eastward towards the FM area. Now, the majority of the rain, I'm not saying the Northern Valley won't get anything, they'll get a little bit, but majority of the rain is going to focus along and south of the 94 corridor and into southern lakes country. And again, some of those storms could pack a punch this evening, anytime between about 6 o'clock and midnight. looks to be the key time frame. I hope not.
Yeah. Dean wants to sleep tonight.
I'd like a quiet night where I can get to bed. But again, we'll be keeping an eye on radar for you. So, the first half of the day looks quiet, but we'll see those clouds increase throughout the day. And we'll see showers and a few thunderstorms towards evening. With highs today close to 80 and a north wind at 5 to 10. Those thunderstorms will continue through the evening hours, push out of here towards midnight. Again, some of those could be strong to severe, packing heavy rainfall as well for the Southern Valley and the Southern Lakes Country. Lows tonight around 60 and then decreasing clouds tomorrow. Highs only in the upper 70s. And then Thursday, we start our warm-up, mid-80s. There's a slight chance of some storms Thursday evening, Thursday night. I put a 20% chance in. Most of that should be to our north, though. And then Friday, upper 80s. Saturday, low 90s. Sunday and Monday, upper 90s with dangerous heat index readings approaching 110 Sunday and Monday. So good day for the pool or lake. Or indoors. I know I'm sure a lot of people will be going out to the fair. And please. Especially that heat will be intensified on the asphalt surfaces. Mm-hmm. So make sure you stay hydrated if you're going out this weekend as, dangerous heat approaches the area as we head into Sunday.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
7:34, time for a check on your national news from ABC. When we come back, a sports update from sports director Big Game James McCarty. Still to come, your 3-degree guarantee. And stay tuned, as always, on Tuesdays for The Jingle Game.
Name That Jingle, sponsored by ZD's. 7:37, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
After a pair of off days, the Twins and Redhawks back onto the diamond today. For the Redhawks, they enter play in Sioux City as they take on the Explorers. 6:35 is the first pitch. The Redhawks are 22-23 on the season, a week away from their All-Star game, which will feature four Redhawks. As for the Minnesota Twins, they begin a 6-game homestand as they are also a week away from their All-Star break. They're hosting the Cleveland Guardians, the second-place Guardians at that. The Twins in third place in the division, and they both are trailing the Chicago White Sox for the division lead about 90 games into the regular season. First pitch tonight for game one of the 3-game sets at 6:40. Coverage on Twins TV. Taj Bradley on the mound for Minnesota. Joey Cantillo will counter for Cleveland. The Twins, 3 games under 500 at 44-47 here on the year, and as of right now, Byron Buxton slated to start the All-Star game a week from today in Philadelphia, with Joe Ryan expected to be in the quote-unquote bullpen as a reserve pitcher from representing the Twins in that midsummer classic. On the hardwood last night, the Minnesota Lynx ended up falling to the Connecticut Sun by a score of 90-89. Caleb McBride had 28 points to pace the way. Dorca Juhas made her 2026 season debut, logging 25 minutes off the bench with 3 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. While we're still awaiting the return of Nafisa Collier after not one, but two offseason ankle surgeries, that she has currently been cleared for full practice with the team, just awaiting the return to the hardwood in game action. As for the rookie point guard Olivia Miles, she did not play last night, her first missed game of her young WNBA career. She had a calf injury, and so the Lynx, out of precautionary reasons, held her out from that ball game last night. The Lynx did drop to 15-6 on the season, but an opportunity to rebound on Wednesday night when they head to Connecticut to battle that same Sun squad at 6:30, nationally televised on USA Network. And also on the hardwood, as we approach summer league play, it's officially underway. The Wolves don't start till Thursday. Could the Wolves possibly get themselves a new veteran forward, as LeBron James is still in search of his next NBA team? Some sources believe he may make a decision today.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves are one of a dozen teams. It's a rumor.
Do you think he'd be a good fit?
There's about 10 teams that believe that they have an actual chance at getting to him. He's a veteran presence that's got more than 2 decades in the league. LaMelo Ball could use some veteran leadership. Anthony Edwards could use some guidance. Yeah. He doesn't have to be the guy anymore.
No, they laid out some points for it. You've got a couple of great defenders in Rudy and Jaden, so LeBron doesn't have to be the best on-ball defender. You've got guys that can score like LaMelo and Ant, and so he doesn't have to be the main scorer. He doesn't necessarily need to play all 82 regular season games, so you can kind of manage his minutes. And, you know, he could potentially add a lot, especially at that power forward position. So, I mean, it'd be interesting. It might be kind of a headache when you think of all the media attention the Wolves would get all of a sudden, but, you know, it'd be interesting to say the least. And there's still there was that one report, James, that said that there's a lot of people think that Cleveland's probably still the favorite to land him in a, you know, one more time around Cleveland as he gets ready to ride off into the sunset. But how interesting would it be for LeBron James, even at this age? I mean, I think I saw a video of him yesterday. I would not attempt this if you're not very athletic, but he was on a yoga ball, and he was on the yoga ball on his knees with two dumbbells, and he was doing like shoulder presses. So he had to balance while doing these shoulder presses with, I don't know, 15, 20, 25, 40-pound weight. I have no idea what the dude lifts. But I would just imagine myself falling off of the yoga ball and hitting my head on the weight.
He's still got mileage. Absolutely. Just curious if we think that would be.
I think we're in the running, but probably still somewhat a long shot. But you never say never. You never know what's going to happen.
And in the World Cup, the round of 16 will conclude today after Spain defeated Portugal 1-0 last night. Belgium over the United States 4-1. Ending the World Cup championship bids by both the United States and Portugal. The doubleheader today on Fox begins at 11 a.m. Argentina against Egypt, followed up by Switzerland against Colombia at 3, before the quarterfinals round will begin on Thursday afternoon. Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
7:42, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Glass Doctor Otto of Fargo Moorhead sponsors our inbox. Contact Reed and his team at glassdoctorotto.com because that chip can turn into a real budget buster. You can always get a hold of us, studio at WDAYradionow.com. It is 7:42. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will be in shortly with your 3-degree guarantee. Still have some traffic tie-ups on I-94 eastbound. Scott Hennen is, are you stuck in it? Or are you going the other way? Or what's going on out there, Scotty?
Well, so I was driving this morning, my daughter going back to New York City after the holiday for the airport, and I'm like, what is going on 94? Because I'm on 29, right? And I circled back after, so that was, you know, before 8 o'clock, before 7 this morning, that it was like, okay, what's going on? And standstill traffic, not just, you know, like backed up, kind of slow, typical road construction stuff, like standstill traffic. As far as I could see to the east on 94 into Minnesota, and then I'm driving the other way to find out how far it goes, and it's to Cheyenne. Okay, so that's 45 minutes ago. Now I just took another tool down. It's still backed up to Cheyenne, and a lot of people are obviously frustrated in getting off on the they travel east on 94, and so the exit off-ramps are, like, backed up to the interstate. And I have no idea, but it is, like, it's moving, but it isn't moving more than 5 miles an hour. It is a
gridlock. I see your pictures you just posted on Facebook, too. Yeah, no kidding. And hopefully it's just today thing. Hopefully this isn't going to continue for the week, but might want to find an alternate route, I guess, if you travel I-94 here in the morning during the morning rush. That's insane.
It is. Yeah, I did just post a photo on Facebook. You guys can share it. If somebody obviously might have seen something. I got to think it's an accident or something. I've been trying to call our usual highway patrol sources on both sides, and they're both not answering and tied up, which is a little bit unusual because you usually get a quick little note. So I imagine they're dealing with something. I have no idea. But, you know, I've driven 94, and it's a pain in the butt, as most places are these days, because of road construction, but it's not standstill, you know.
Yeah.
So something's going on, and if one of our listeners knows, they might want to check it out, but we'll keep trying to get an answer here.
All right. Thanks, Scotty. Appreciate it.
7:45,
Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is in next with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:47.
Time for your 3-degree guarantee. It is brought to you by Labor Masters. Get the quality, reliable help you need today with Labor Masters. Going back to yesterday, as we patiently await on our famous...
He's right around the corner.
All right. Famous weatherman. Yesterday, Dean predicted a high of 91 degrees. Yesterday, Dean, what was the high? How did you do on your prediction?
We hit 89 yesterday,
mm-hmm.
So that falls
sticky out.
It was, yes.
Yeah.
Boy, that dew point was in the low 70s, 73, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Today we're going to go 80, that's it. So a little bit cooler due to the cloud cover. And we'll see a few showers and storms overspread the area late afternoon into the evening hours. Could see some strong to severe storms during the evening along and south of 94, any time between about 6 p.m. and midnight. And then the rest of the night's quiet with lows around 60. So again, the 3-degree guarantee, 8-0, the big 80.
And that 3-degree guarantee of 80 degrees is brought to you by Labor Masters. Get the quality, reliable help you need today with Labor Masters.
7:48, time now to find our contestant for Name That Jingle, sponsored by ZD's. We are looking for caller 7 right now. Give us a call on the window and door store phone lines, 701-293-9000. We'll get caller 7 lined up, see if they can identify the commercial jingle we're playing. If not, keep on dialing in because we'll just go to the next person in line. All right, we have our potential contestant for ZD's Name That Jingle on the line with us this morning. We've got Dennis hanging on. Good morning to you, Dennis.
Good morning.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know. Let's try it.
Okay, it goes way back. I don't think it's currently still used, but it goes way back. Should be very recognizable. So here you go.
I think getting a little bit of the R on the end of that
word. Yeah, never mind. Dennis, do you get to know what it is?
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Bravo. Congratulations, Dennis. We will have a $25 gift certificate to ZD's Italian American waiting for you at our studios. You can pick it up anytime between 8 and 4:30, Monday through Friday.
Super.
And have you been there yet?
No, ooh, I haven't.
You are in for a treat. It is absolutely delicious. So that'll help save you some money, too.
Sounds good.
Hey,
thank you.
Thank you for listening, Dennis. We do appreciate it, and congratulations. We only have like 3 more weeks remaining,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll be wrapping it up at the end of the month. Name That Jingle, sponsored by ZD's. It's been a fun contest, too.
Yeah, that was a bit of a throwback there, and I was kind of leaning Dr. Pepper at first, but then I wasn't sure, and then when you got the he's a beep, she's a beep, I'm a beep. Then I was like, oh, now I know. I'm pretty sure I know what it is now.
I mean, that was in heavy, heavy rotation for a long, long time.
Yeah. That was funny, though.
It surprises me, though. ZD's is always jam-packed. In fact, on the weekends, you need to make reservations.
Yeah.
But a lot of you who have won hadn't been there. A few people had been there, but most people have been saying, no, I haven't been there yet. So
well, I mean,
highly encourage you to check
them out.
Yeah,
it's one of those things, especially with good restaurants, et cetera. Sometimes it's tough to get in right away. Because of the popularity of a new place and everybody wanting to try it out. So sometimes you kind of got to, you know, bide your time and wait your turn to get in there. And then once everything kind of, not necessarily slows down, but kind of everything kind of normalizes, then it's easier to get in. But yeah, it's convenient location over there at the lights, et cetera, in my opinion. And great reviews on the food.
And park in the parking ramp. And I think that they're just going to be one of those mainstay busy places.
Yeah,
like the food
totally is
that good.
Mm-hmm.
Not kidding you at all. So congratulations to Dennis. And again, be listening next Tuesday right after the 3-degree guarantee. And we will do it once again. Your money and markets are straight ahead. Microsoft with some more job cuts. We will talk about it. Coming up, 7:56, checking out your money in markets. A rebound for AI stocks lifted the U.S. markets yesterday. The S&P 500 rose 54 points and pulled in within 1% of its record, even though the majority of stocks within the index fell. The strength for AI sent the NASDAQ up 288 points, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average added 155 points, once again setting a new record.
There you go. President Donald Trump has rung the opening bells for the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ from the Oval Office. It's a symbolic act that reflects how Trump has increasingly tied his presidency to the stock market. Trump said Monday, after formally launching the start of trading, he thinks the market's going to go through the roof. The Republican president has tried to get more Americans to focus on their 401k investments as the November midterm elections draw closer. Monday's event was aimed at promoting the launch of Trump accounts to give kids access to investing.
Walmart has made some price cuts. A statement from Walmart describes the cuts as a seasonal strategy with no mention of government interaction. President Trump has been claiming credit for Walmart's recent price cuts. Inflation has climbed 4.2 over the past year, higher than the rate Trump inherited, according to the Associated Press.
The premiers of Alberta and Ontario have proposed a pipeline to carry Western Canadian oil to the country's east as Canada seeks new markets. Alberta's premier says the proposed pipeline would run from Hardisty, Alberta to Sarnia, Ontario, carrying up to 500,000 barrels of oil a day with potential for up to 800,000 barrels. Smith says the corridor could eventually be extended to Canada's Atlantic coast, opening the door to exports to Europe. Ontario Premier Doug Ford says the pipeline would be a sound investment regardless of whether it is publicly or privately financed. A feasibility study is planned.
Yeah, and that would be years down the road. Yep. That's not something that's going to happen overnight. That'll be interesting to watch.
Obviously.
Microsoft has announced it's cutting 4,800 jobs, including many in its Xbox division. It represents about 2.1% of its global workforce. Layoffs include 1,600 Xbox workers, with more expected this year. Move is part of a broad reorganization to reset Xbox amid increased competition. Xbox CEO Asha Sharma, who took over earlier this year, says business isn't healthy. That's surprising.
Yeah.
She noted that Xbox is operating at margins significantly lower than its competitors. Sharma also highlighted that the industry is facing a severe hardware crisis.
Oh, that's interesting. I know that PlayStation had announced recently that their plan is in the next couple of years to do away with the game discs and have everything digital. And I know there's a lot of gamers out there that are opposing that because sometimes you can find copies of games in the disc, the DVD disc version for a cheaper price than these online downloads. However, as someone that has access to the PlayStation Network, etc., there are a lot of games that ebb and flow as far as sale prices. I mean, there's a specific game I've had my eye on. I'm waiting for it to come to the your PlayStation Network free games. And it's gone from like $60 or $70 starting price, and it's dropped down to 30% off. There'll be a time 40%, 50% off. And as the NBA season goes along, that price continues to drop. So sometimes, yeah, they'll have a used game that is 3 or 4 years old that is still full price on the digital download, but it'll be discounted at, say, your big box stores like Walmart and Target. So, you know, it can cut costs for some of these gaming companies, but at the same time, it might affect users, so that could affect profits.
And PlayStation, Xbox have been around a long time.
Yes.
I'm wondering, you know, with AI here, whether we're kind of on the verge of some new type of gaming system that's going to be coming out.
Yeah,
you know?
You would think that the AI, as far as gaming possibilities, that could really enhance some of these games, the first-person shooters, maybe some of the sports games, to make it even more realistic, or maybe more realistic responses to the gamers call the NPCs, the non-playable characters. So we'll see. But yeah, you would think with all this AI stuff we've been talking about, we seem like we'd be on the edge or on the cusp of really having a game that has a base and then the AI can take it and keep expanding it, especially if it's popular.
Yeah, you see people around with mullets oftentimes, the young kids. I saw one sitting in front of me at the banana ball game I was at a few weeks ago. But it's not too often you find competitions when it involves mullets. But we've got details on one here in our local area coming up, and we're going to tell you all about it around 8:10. 8:01, we are WDAY Fargo. 8:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki working his way down the hallway. It's kind of clouded up it was a beautiful sunrise, and then it was sunny. Now there's
a little overcast now, a little bit.
Yeah, but setting the tone, I guess, for what's to come later today.
Yeah, those clouds are going to thicken up as we head throughout the day. There's rain out around the Bismarck area moving eastward, so again, we'll see some rain spread into the area. As we head into the afternoon, a lot of that's going to glide along and north of 94, the first round, and then we're going to see more concentrated showers and storms enter the area this evening along and south of 94. Some of those could be on the strong to severe side, along with some heavy rain. Something we'll be keeping an eye on for this evening. And we'll top out at 80 today. Those storms will be out of here by midnight, and then a quiet night with lows around 60. And then we'll start off with cloud cover on Wednesday, but then see decreasing clouds as we head into the afternoon with highs only in the upper 70s. Then we start our warm-up, mid-80s Thursday. Right around 90 on Friday, low 90s on Saturday, upper 90s on Sunday and Monday, with heat index readings over the weekend into the triple digits on Sunday. Could be as high as about 110 or so. So that's dangerous heat as we head into Sunday. So we'll be keeping an eye on those storms for this evening. Again, Southern Valley into Southern Lakes country looks to be the target area for the storms this evening. Let's hope it's a quieter evening. Yeah, we don't want any more tornadoes. Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
No. 804, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Corwin Subaru, family driven for over 100 years. Your Subaru journey starts here, but where it goes, that's up to you. Details on that mullet competition. We'll have that in about 5 minutes. We're going to get your national news in first from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. Animals, musicians, clowns, and a mullet pageant. We'll have all the details on that straight ahead. First of all, a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The FIFA World Cup round of 16 continued last night with Spain edging out Portugal 1-0, and then Belgium more or less dominating the United States, taking advantage of many defensive lapses by the Americans. 4-1, Belgium takes the victory in that one. We round out the round of 16 today with a doubleheader beginning at 11 a.m. on Fox with Argentina against Egypt. Then at 3 o'clock on Fox, it's Switzerland against Colombia before the quarterfinals round begins on Thursday. For the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, an off day on Monday resulted in them just having a few extra hours to decompress as they head down to Sioux City to take on the Explorers. First pitch of game one of this three-game set will be tonight at 6:35. The Redhawks trying to fight back to 500 at 22-23 on the season. For the Minnesota Twins, their off day resulted in them returning home as they now open up a six-game homestand as they approach the All-Star break. They'll host a division foe in the Cleveland Guardian. 6:40 is the first pitch tonight. Twins TV is the coverage. Todd Bradley on the mound for Minnesota. Joey Cantillo countering for Cleveland. The Twins in third place in the AL Central at 44-47 on the year. They are three games behind second place Cleveland, who's 47-44. And the Chicago White Sox at 47-42. They lead the American League Central, and they find themselves a game ahead of Cleveland and four games ahead of the Minnesota Twins. On the hardwood last night, the Minnesota Lynx without star rookie point guard Olivia Miles, who missed the game due to a calf injury, more out of precautionary reasons than anything. On a positive note, though, Dorky Juhas made her 2026 season debut, logging 25 minutes off the bench with 3 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. The only problem is the Lynx fall just short to the Connecticut Sun, 90-89, as they were paced by Kayla McBride's 28 points. In that ballgame, 23 points from Courtney Williams and 18 from Natasha Howard. The Lynx dropping to 15-6 on the season, still awaiting the return on the hardwood in game action, at least, of Nafisa Collier at this point, while Cheryl Reeve still tied with Mike Thibault for the most regular season wins for a head coach in WNBA history at 379. A chance to break that record again on Wednesday in Connecticut against the Sun, nationally televised on USA Network for the Lynx. And as we round out sports here for this hour tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. We'll get you up to speed in the local sports scene as the Wild making moves, the Wolves finalizing those trades from the last week and a half or so, and North Dakota State football, is their roster officially finalized for the upcoming 2026 season in the Mountain West?
811, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Well, one of the finest county fairs you will find anywhere happens right here in our region. They have everything, super easy walking, great for little kids. It's the Clay County Fair in Barnesville, and it gets underway this Thursday. James Cruz joining us now to talk more about it. Good morning to you, James.
Good morning.
How long has the Clay County Fair been going on?
This is the 112th. Clay County Fair.
Oh my gosh, it is so nice. Especially when I loved it, especially when my kids were little. Like I said, it is just so, you guys have everything. You know, you got the animals, you've got all the great food, you've got some rides there, and so much to see and do, but it's just, it's nice easy walk for those with little kids or those maybe older or have mobility issues to get around your fairgrounds.
Yeah, it's the nice thing about our grounds is it's nearly 100% grass.
Nice.
That means we can park on the grass?
Yep.
Nice. Yep. I know one of the big draws, too, and I have some family members who absolutely love demolition derbies. You guys always have a demolition derby on Saturday night, correct?
Yep, our demolition derby is on Saturday night, and it is pretty much typically a sellout every year.
I bet so. How early do you have to? What time is it at, and how early do you have to get there if you want to get in the grandstand area?
The demolition derby will start at 7 o'clock, and tickets will go on sale. We'll have a small at our ticket booth. We'll start selling about 12:30, but Gates will open typically about 5:30.
Okay, that's good to know. How many vehicles are involved in the demo derby, and can people still get in on that?
Yeah, if they check out our website or our Facebook page, the derby, there's a promoter that takes care of all of our registrations. So we don't always know until, but we always hear that it's a good sign-up going on.
Yeah.
Well, then on Friday.
So it'll be a good show.
Absolutely. On Friday, you got the Red River Valley Pullers Modified Truck and Tractor Pull. How many contestants do you have signed up for that so far?
Typically, that will be, a couple, three-hour show. Again, the Red River Valley Pullers take care of all the registrations, so they it's kind of a circuit. So they have a group of drivers of trucks that usually are coming around all the different fairs and events.
Oh, are those all local or regional drivers though for that event?
Like I said, it's typically throughout Minnesota. I think there's some that come from some surrounding states.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of a group that kind of go to all the different tractor pulls that are being held throughout the area.
So the Clay County Fair in Barnesville, it kicks off this Thursday. What time do I know you got check-in for the 4-H, FFA stuff earlier in the morning, but what time do things officially kick off, James?
The gates will technically open at 7 o'clock on Thursday morning. Like you said, entry, 4-H has their judging. All the livestock get kind of in place by, early afternoon. And then some of our events, like the Midway that day and probably the first other event of the day, we have a spelling bee at the old schoolhouse at 3 o'clock. And then we have our talent show at 5:30, along with we also have a jigsaw puzzle contest that starts at 5:30. We have a touch a truck kind of in our grandstand area with a bunch of different larger trucks and law enforcement vehicles that, kids can come and see up close and personal. And then we have the popular mullet pageant will be at 6:30.
Have you been seeing a lot of mullets around town?
Yep, it's we get a lot of comments on people that plan on attending that and encouraging people they know to come to that event. So.
Oh, that's fun! Yeah, there was a young man sitting in front of us at the banana ball game. I bet he's going to be taking part in the mullet competition at the Clay County Fair. I could see it. He was looking pretty good, so if he enters, he could win that.
We get anywhere from 2-year-olds all the way up to adults that participate in that. Typically we have a 15 or 20 that are participating in that.
I love that. And you have something for everybody, too. Bingo's huge, right?
Bingo. Yep, we have bingo on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then lots of, we have free entertainment on our band shelter each evening. We have local bands. We have Chloe Ray that'll be there on Thursday night, and then Kayla Daniels on Friday. We have the Red Letter Band on Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon we'll have Rachel and Nero. So that's all free entertainment. So as you're kind of wandering around, our band shelter is kind of in a shaded area, so kind of sit down for a while, enjoy some of the music, some of the other events going on.
Yeah, and John Offit's pretty incredible, and I think you've probably had him out there too. Glass blowing demos that he'll be putting on for free, and magician Tom Anderson too doing some shows.
Yep, Tom Anderson will be there on Friday for some kids' activities with the magic shows, and then on Saturday we have the Dolly Pops, which is an interactive children's music show, and they'll be there for a couple of shows on Saturday.
It's going to be fun. So tickets at the gate, or is there a way to get tickets ahead of time?
Our tickets, as far as admission, it's an admission-free fair. So there's no charge to enter the grounds. If you want to park on the grounds, then there is a parking fee. You can either pay $5 for a day or $15 for all 4 days.
There you go. Admission-free. How about that? You get to take part and enjoy all this stuff free of charge. Very nice. Who's your carnival, or who's on the Midway? Who's your carnival operator?
Our carnival operator is the Mighty Thomas Carnival.
Oh, sure.
And we have had the Mighty Thomas Carnival for a very long time, and they do a very good job for us.
Well, looking forward to it. Like I said, you guys do it upright. I mean, one of the nicest county fairs I've ever been to, and I'm glad that it's continuing going strong. And it's a big deal, too, for these kids that are coming in to show their animals and other items that they have entered into these competitions, isn't it?
Yeah, the static exhibits or the non-livestock exhibits is a big deal, both on the 4-H, FFA, and open class. Those are all available. And then the livestock shows. You know, there's a lot of time that the youth are putting into working with their animals, and it shows because they are some very quality shows. And the barns, they have been for the last couple of years, they will again this year, are full to capacity. So it's a great opportunity for parents to bring out their kids, get up close and personal to animals. These 4-H and FFA members are more than gladly to show them, let them get close to their animals, pet them, talk about them. So
yeah,
great opportunity.
And some of the exhibits, too, that 4-H is doing, Learn by Doing, Milk Jug Bird Feeder. I see they also have T-shirt dog toys. That sounds like some fun stuff.
Yep, they have some hands-on activities. So, you know, that's, I believe, on Saturday, so they can come out and kind of, as they're doing other activities, to, you know, walking around the fair, they can kind of participate and do some learning activities.
What? And I'm guessing this is for children, but what's the nickel scramble? Are you like finding nickels, and what are they buried in?
Yeah, we typically have a little marked off area with a snow fence, and we have some straw inside of that, and then we have different age groups that we'll have at different times, and just, yeah, they're scrambling in there looking for nickels.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun, and I hope it looks like it's going to be hot, so people better make sure that they stay hydrated, but there will be plenty of water and probably lemonade and other beverages out there as well for sale.
Yes, there's a full range of food items, the typical fair food, so everybody will enjoy.
I think you'll be liking the forecast. Thursday through Sunday, no rain. Dean has highs in the upper 80s to even into the 90s, 98 on Sunday. That's a little toasty.
Yeah.
But this is fair weather, right?
Yep. It's what happens from time to time.
Well, you'll take that over rain and storms, I would imagine.
Yep. Yep.
Very good. Well, looking forward to it, James. Thank you for your time this morning. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you, and just hope everybody comes out and enjoys the fair.
Absolutely, it is. It's a great fair. James Cruz, Secretary-Treasurer of the Clay County Fair. Clay County Fair in Barnesville gets underway this Thursday, goes through Sunday. You can just check out their website if you want more details.
Well, how nice is it, though, to be able to go from the Red River Valley Fair, you know, this week, and when that wraps up, head down to the Clay County Fair.
There's some people that can't get enough of fairs.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
love fairs. And like I said,
sometimes, like you said, there's a lot of stuff for the little kids, a lot of kind of ag related type of things with 4-H and stuff available down at this one. And sometimes you want the smaller,
more
intimate. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, down in Barnesville is a nice quiet town. So you'll be off the interstate there a little bit, and it'll be nice and quiet there. So it'd be a good time for a lot of families to go out and do that. But as we said with Dean's upcoming forecast, just be aware of the heat and make sure you're hydrated. Keep the kids, you know, have their sunscreen on. Keep them out of the too much sun so they don't get overheated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just go out and have a good time, though.
You bet. And there's enough places to go cool off, if not at the grandstands there or at the fairgrounds. The VFW is a popular place, but there's other establishments right there in Barnesville, too, if you need to get into the air. But, yeah, mnclaycountyfair.com if you're looking for the full schedule and more details. It's 8:22. We're going to be heading to the American Ag Network shortly. Looks like that power outage Cass County Electric was dealing with, according to their outage map, it looks like it's been resolved, probably lasted about 2 hours. So hopefully, if you were affected by that, South Fargo, 64th to about 72nd Avenue, hopefully your power has been restored. Coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback. We do it each and every morning right around 6:56. It's brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist who...
Go on.
Open for the Monkees, and it was kind of a clash. It didn't exactly mix. It was known as a musical train wreck.
I think I remember this one when it came up, I think last year or whatever. And it's one of those ones where you look at it and you go, they had him open for them? It's not even in the same genre.
Did you just give a hint out? It was kind of a clash?
No.
No.
You picked up what we were laying down, but no, it's not. No, it's
okay.
not.
All right.
And the best-selling American girl group. We'll be showcasing them, too. This wouldn't have been my guess. I had no idea, but we'll let you know.
Best-selling American girl. I mean, so is
the Pussycat Dolls?
No, but that's exactly what I
was
going to
say.
No.
Something like the Supremes.
Ooh, no, neither.
Yeah.
Neither. Wrong. Both of you.
Oh, yeah, Wilson Phillips.
Yeah. No, stop guessing.
Come on,
you have to listen tomorrow.
I'm trying to think of girl groups.
We will tell you tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback, right around 6:56. Those are good guesses, though. All of those are good guesses.
Yeah. Will you just tell me off air? I might miss it more. I might miss it tomorrow.
I would have said Pussycat Dolls myself.
Really? I mean, is it supposed to be like
from the same era?
Isn't it the Supremes that are one of the best selling groups of all time? But is that not considered a girl group?
Ronettes.
Ronettes
would have been another one. Yeah. You're showing your age.
I'm trying to think of. It's kind of hard to come up with girl groups, actually.
Especially American ones, because my first thought would have been the best selling one would have been something like the Spice Girls, but they're British.
The Spice Girls. Yes. That's what it is.
I'm not giving anything else out.
It's an American girl group.
Oh, American girl band.
That's why I said it. That's what I thought of, but I know that wasn't them because they're from another country.
The Cow Sales.
that was Brothers and Sisters,
oh,
Ronnie.
I did watch their
Netflix documentary. Growing up and whatnot, I really had no idea. They were like the vision, I guess, for what became known as the Partridge Family.
Yeah, sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. No, it's legit.
Huh. Yeah.
But I didn't know that. I had never heard of the Cow Sales. I learned them.
The only reason I knew about any of that stuff is my mother. You know,
right.
That was kind of her era
right.
of music.
And, this is the first time I'm hearing of them.
And it would have been like my older siblings, but they weren't into the Cow Sales. So they had cool stuff.
Yeah. And I didn't know anything about, the Carpenters until, my mom explained a little. I would have been very young in their heyday.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. They had a lot of good tunes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing coming up on the Coffee Club today?
Today is Tuesday, so it's our nonprofit day of the week. Thanks to Luther Family Ford. Jill Christopher is going to join us today from the Ronald McDonald House. So we're going to be doing that. Things to bring to a cookout. Last week we talked about what not to bring, remember, Ronnie?
We sure did. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't you always kind of want to bring something that not at least I do as a cook, I want to try to bring something that not everybody mm-hmm. else is bringing,
right? Or something that can help the host, or something like that. Ways young people are out of touch with reality these days. I think this will be a fun list
that could take an hour.
I think Ronnie and I are gonna laugh. It'll be fun.
That could take
an
hour.
If you haven't heard, Ronnie's family made him a T-shirt that says #Ronnie
Cheap. Ronnie Cheap. Yeah.
We're going to talk about things frugal people will never, ever buy.
See, I prefer to use the North Dakota verbiage, thrifty.
Yeah.
You are thrifty.
Yeah, there you go, Ronnie. Yeah.
He's not cheap. He's just thrifty. Mm-hmm.
He's wise with his money.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Financially sound.
Mm. Yes, he is. Look at him. He just...
Sound is a pound.
All right, stay tuned. Coffee Club coming up. Jace, let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we'll be back tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. Have yourselves a great day.